episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, B-I-R-S-S-D-A-Y to Roro. Happy birthday. Day to you. Hip hip hooray. Hip hip hooray. This is Klaus Schwab, formerly from the Veil Economic Forum. And I'm just saying happy 1956th birthday to Roro, all the way in Australia. And I will be back a little bit later. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
That was a recorded message that Klaus left to us.
And he sent that to your phone. You got it genuinely all the way. He's unemployed now, but he's got a bit more time.
We've got to announce
the show, Rick and Roro, birthday edition, because Rollo's birthday, 1969. Someone was born on October the 4th, 1969. So therefore, he is 56 years of age today. 56, and it's now October the 4th. May the 4th be with you. You made it. 56 years of age.
Rick and Roro, 49. So thank you. Fantastic. Yes. Oh, man, I got a message from Elon Musk. He wished me – no, he didn't wish me a happy birthday, but I got another one of those. My wife thinks it's an internet scam.
It's an internet scam.
Yeah.
You never know, though. He could be listening, King – Roro, King Charles listens. The Queen used to listen to the podcast, so you never know.
Ooh. I did see something amusing during the week that I think Donald Trump, I'm not sure if he was joking, when he referred to not Camilla as the Queen, but the son, William, the pretty one, Kate, is it?
Kate, the sexy one, yeah. The one that...
The one
that might have died last year or something happened to her.
She's still stunning, and he called her queen or something. Do you know that Donald Trump is dead set, like Angus Young, a teetotaler?
Yeah, I believe that.
Doesn't drink alcohol. Angus Young smokes 100 cigarettes a day, but doesn't touch alcohol and never has, not really.
Angus Young drinks cups of tea and chain smokes Benson Hedges.
That's it, because of Bon Scott, I think, put him off alcohol.
Before you move on, I just had this thought that popped into my head that someone suggested the other day And I thought, sure. there's a there. You know, Malcolm died of brain. You know, when he lost his, he couldn't remember anything. Dementia.
Yeah.
Mm. Or and they said, because Malcolm Young, he's the rhythm man. He's the one that, you know, he's that guy. Yeah. But he just stood there and played. He never moved his head around. Angus is like a dying fly after. You're listening to
Rick and Ray, 49. Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Yeah, Rick and Rollo 49, Saturday the 4th of October 2025. Happy birthday to me. Yes, you were saying, Angus, Malcolm was the rhythm, and he just kept real still.
And he just stayed there. He just stood there, you know, like he moved around a bit, but he played his guitar, but he didn't bang his head up and down. Now, Angus was like, when Louis the Fly gets sprayed by Raid. And
He was doing Chuck Berry. That was his Chuck Berry.
But the blood would be rushing to your brain. You know, being an ex-headbanger, which I was back in the 80s.
Okay.
At the front of stage, banging your head. I reckon that it pushes blood into the brain, and Angus Young's got no issues with dementia. There's a there. So I recommend banging your head a bit more. Great song.
Doing a bit of headbanging what was that song that you, had a good laugh?
Which one?
The Slayer song. You put a Slayer song that was all jazzed up, Raiding Blood.
Yeah, it's called fake music or something or other. And
it was awesome.
But it sounds like that. So they just programmed and make Slayer Rain and Blood.
I was reading the comment section and they're saying if AI can make, you know, this good. I mean, Jesus, what are we going to need next? We're not going to need actors or musicians.
I said this to myself and to anyone that listened in the 80s, in the 90s when I saw computers doing what they were doing. I said, they're going to synthesize. I said, you'll get a perfect version of Marilyn Monroe singing Ace of Spades. This is exactly what I said 30 years ago, and I'm now 100% correct. And I'm sure programmed in Marilyn Monroe singing Ace of Spades.
Marilyn.
To Mr. President. Happy.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking of when Klaus Schwab left that message to me. I was thinking of Marilyn Monroe singing to John F. Kennedy. But I tell you, there's been a few
demises.
I'm a bit macabre. I looked up other famous people that have also been born and died on my birthday. I'm a bit funny. Like, do you know who died on October 4th? You might have remembered them: Buster Keaton, Charlton Heston, and Janis Joplin. They're big. And born on my birthday, obviously. A few others that died around my birthday was what you said, Kick the Bucket, which made me laugh. Now tell me.
Well, there's a show called Keeping Up Appearances, which is huge, which I never watched. And the lead character was Hyacinth Bucket, and she always said it's pronounced bouquet, not bucket. You know, like, and that was the thing. So she died age
94. Yeah,
no, she's older than that. Older than that. What was her name?
Patricia Routledge.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Routledge.
It. Yeah, interesting, which I'll be talking about tomorrow night. I'm going to do Sunday night is going to be Be Told Night because I haven't done one for ages.
Good.
And I've got to start doing more. And I thought Sunday night I'm going to spend more time doing my own stuff. And not rambling away over on Folkologist.
And not getting trolled. Not getting trolled by Roller. Yeah, she was 96. Right. She was 96. Yeah. So she was born 3rd of October. No, died 3rd of October. Was born February 29, 1929. Yeah, well, she was great. She was such a, the way she overacted, she, I can't believe you've never seen the show. You don't know what you're missing. It was my mother's. My mother died on the 3rd. My mother died on the 3rd of October, 2018.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
really?
And Patricia Rowley died 3rd of October yesterday. So my mother would be honoured that Hyacinth Bouquet died on her birthday. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I thought mum was going to hang on. She only died 2 hours before my birthday. She died on 10 o'clock on October. Sorry to bring the mood down. I mean, that sounds sad, doesn't it? Yeah, well, but she, I thought if she dies on my birthday. Yeah, but wouldn't that be a crazy birthday present?
It would be a really bad birthday present, but anyway. Anyway, but what was the gist of Keep Up Appearances? They'd lost their money. They'd been rich or lost their money, or what was the
No. It was just they were middle class, and she thought she was just was a bit. It's hard. Because I've never lived in the British class system, she wanted to be so far removed from working class. You know, there's that class sketch, you know,
I kind of feel that way. But I feel that I should have been at least a lord of some form. not cleaning toilets.
Do you remember that sketch that they did on where it was John Cleese? I am better than him I am upper class. Ronnie Barker goes, I look up to him, but I look down on him, and he looks down on Ronnie Corbett. And that sketch is so funny. That explains That explains what that beautiful show, Keeping Up Appearances. And it was, that's right, because her sister and Onslow were working class and proud of it, and she was disgusted by it, and she thought she should be aristocracy, but she wasn't. Just brilliant. I loved it.
I feel I've created a term, by psychopath. Mm-hmm. Can you be partly psychopath? Because I identify sometimes with the ruling elites, particularly after I've been on public transport. I tend to get off, and I tend to be quite happy to see useless eaters being removed off the planet. I don't know, particularly over COVID, but everyone was wearing masks. Not everyone, not us, but I kept going, you fucking useless eater. That's what I was referring to people as. So I feel like I may be by psychopath. I might have psychopathic tendencies. Wow. Not totally psychopathic.
Did we talk about last week on Rick and Rollo 48? Did we talk about Ben Affleck's daughter going to the UN? Violet Affleck?
Possibly.
Did we talk about
it? Meh. But look, we'll bring it up.
Well, it doesn't matter. We'll do it again.
Bring it up.
Because Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck have a daughter, Violet, who was in lockdown when she was 14, 15 years old and was fully vaccinated and I think vaccine damaged. I think she's vaccine damaged. She's wearing that N95 mask and she goes to the UN and it's a bit Greta Thunberg-like, wants us all, everyone in the whole world to be mask-wearing again, mandated. Tell me her head's not boiled.
She is a useless eater.
Yeah, I don't know why, but why as parents would Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner just say, look,
they're both in the CIA.
They're 19-year-old. Just say, look.
I'll say that again for the short, slow hearing. They're both CIA operatives, particularly Jennifer Garner. And I think she did. She actually did a film training module for the CIA. And Ben Affleck's 100% guaranteed part of it. You know that movie Argo, which I refused to watch. And I had a big argument with my brother. He goes, that's a great movie. And I said, the story's a whole lot of bullshit. And he goes, but it's a great movie. And I said, I choose not to watch. Because he believed the story of Argo, you know, that a film crew rescue a whole lot of people out of, is it Iran or Iraq? Iran, I think it is.
I don't know.
Or one of those Middle Eastern countries. No, I think that Affleck is, you know, and he played Superman, which is a very...
Batman,
exactly. And it introduced, I have to admit, I did enjoy watching that movie because it had Gal Gadot looking extraordinarily sexy, looking like she'd had that... injection of that yellow stuff.
Kal-El, no. It's a meme. But Ben Affleck, the best part of the Justice League, get this right, because it was shot by Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, just mid-shooting, well, this is what Warner Brothers says, mid-shooting, Zack Snyder's, this is true, his daughter committed suicide.
Oh.
So he dropped out of the project. So they got... what's his name?
Like story about, you know how you can only become famous if someone you sacrifice someone in your family? Because of
it must have been an awful situation. I heard rumors that there was a cover. Look, again, it's an awful situation.
Which one was it?
Rumors there was a cover story that he was going to get fired anyway, and they wanted.
Yeah, because was he saying inappropriate things to children or something or other? Or was X not?
That's
the other guy.
Who did Suicide Squad? That's James Gunn. An edgelord on Twitter or years ago. He's currently ruining. He did the new Superman, James Gunn.
Have you seen it?
Awful. I'm not going to watch it. It looked awful. My son
said, "Have you seen it?" Because he wants my opinion because he thought it was a bit dodgy, and because he knows my opinion of things. Now you know James Gunn also did the Marvel movies, which I sat there and I went, "This is a bit inappropriate." The Guardians of the Galaxy, they kept bringing up penis, saying the word penis all the time.
This is a movie.
This is a movie aimed for children, just like Steven Spielberg did that thing about penis breath. He got Drew Barrymore to say penis breath when she was nine years old.
Did he?
Yeah, I remember that. That's not what 9 year olds don't use that phrase, penis breath. You know, the last thing, but. A dirty old director and James Gunn. I'm telling you, I have to see all these movies. I keep repeating myself here, but I've seen almost every Marvel and DC movie that was ever made up till about 3 years ago when I didn't need to take them to the movies. They could go by themselves. So I was getting alarm bells at some of the things the characters were saying in Guardians of the Galaxy, and whoever was directing it and the writer of it was allowing them to say it. Bad.
Let me go back to what I was going to say just about Ben Affleck. This is cool though. Affleck, you know, and Jennifer Garner with her Violet going to the. Anyway, you said Ben Affleck. You said Superman, and I said Batman. He was Batman in Zack Snyder's Justice League, Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide. Then a guy took over. His name was Josh Whedon. Now, Josh Whedon has a total different style. Like, say, Zack Snyder's all dark and slow-mos and Josh Whedon's all colorful. And this movie was such a mess. And they did reshoot. And again, listen. Ben Affleck, this is the funny part. Ben Affleck, when he did his Zach Wilder bits, Zack Snyder bits, was in pretty good shape, looking good as Batman.
He got really fat.
When they did the reshoots with Joss Whedon because Warner Brothers wanted to lighten it up because it was way too dark. They didn't like it. They wanted Joss Whedon. And Joss Whedon did Buffy the Vampire Slayer and shit like that. You know, I said, a comic edge to it, but, you know, could still do that sort of stuff. They got him back for, so you'd see the shot go from Batman, like in one scene, and then he put on like 10 pounds or, you know, he's physically, and that upset him because he was going through him and Jennifer Garner. I don't know if they were breaking up or whatever, but he let himself go.
No, and he was going out with that Spanish actress, you know, that very vivacious.
No.
He was, you know, she's a singer, Jennifer Lopez. He was in between.
Oh,
Jennifer
yeah,
Lopez.
Yeah, Taylor. Yeah.
He's got
He married. Didn't he marry her? He did. But, what is it? Jenny Round the Block. She was really famous. Yeah.
Still going. I just saw it earlier. Yeah, but just before we went on air, we don't do a pre-show, but we do a kind of a 10-second pre-show. You mentioned you're watching the new baseball, US baseball, and you're watching all these adverts for. On the American
Which
TV.
Which one should we talk about first? We'll talk about the one that you posted from Board Panda that I read that whole story. It's called Kybella. Kybella's a drug. And I just said, the way I looked at the before and after photo that you showed me, the woman, I don't know if they take injections or it's but she looked like, Kelly Osbourne. Yep. Her chin is a big fat. And she basically turns from Kelly Osbourne into Natalie Imbruglia.
Every time I'm on Facebook, and there's a friend of mine, I won't name him, but he's going through the issues, and he's going out with his wife, and her daughter, and her sisters. They just sit there and do selfies, and sit there doing these poses, and they use filters and things like that now because they're getting older.
Oh, sure.
And they want their faces to look like that new skinny-faced look, you know, that new, like, as you said, Natalie Imbruglia, with a much more dainty skin.
She didn't use filters back when she did Torn, when she was with Daniel. Daniel Johns, when he was, he didn't know what a good thing he was into there. Sorry, that sounds rude, but anyway.
But anyway, as we're getting onto that subject, adverts are you seeing on US TV?
The one was awesome. And when Velo gets here, because Velo sent me a message just before, because he said he'll come in and do some producing at the end of our show tonight. It's called Optivo Kvantig. Now, because I've been watching, let me just set up the story. In Australia, we're not allowed by law to get pharmaceutical ads.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Now, the funny part was just because we went to postseason in the baseball, and because we pay for MLB, we pay for the – and MLB normally –
Who's MLB? Who's MLB?
Major League Baseball. So Major League Baseball is .com. Is where we get all the fees. And normally when the ads come in, they go, we've gone to an ad break. So we don't get to see the American ads. But because it's postseason and they're on the big, like ESPN on ABC and NBC, we're getting all the American ads. Yeah. And it's just as fun to watch the American ads, you know, watching Jeff Bridges flogging mobile phones and Samuel L. Jackson flogging, I don't know, some betting thing. But it's the drug ads Now, this Optivo Cavontig, the ad goes for 1 minute, but the ad is the anti-cancer ad, and then promoting the ad goes for about 10 to 20 seconds of the 1 minute, and then the last 40 seconds is all the side effects. It is a friggin' classic. And yeah, Christy, and I rang Christy, and she said,
make all cancer, testicular cancer, breast cancer, and they start really
anal leakage. Death.
Anal leakage.
Pick and roll. Happy birthday to me.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And you're listening to Rick and Roto, episode number 49, on October the 4th, Roto's birthday. And back to our hosts, Rick and Roto.
Thank you, Bernard King. Yeah, what a funny little man you are.
Yeah, so we'll keep talking about this. It's big stuff.
Yeah, no, this is a funny line.
Antidepressants. And, and that was say, make all suicide, make all deprivation, really fast. Make all suicide.
I'm going to get Velo. I've sent Velo one of those ads to play for us tonight. It's the Optivo Quanti. Now, get this. It was an anti-cancer drug. And Christy was watching the same baseball as I was watching at her place. Yep. And we rang each other and I said, have you been watching the American ads? And she goes, yeah. And I go, did you watch that one with all the cancer one with all the side effects? And she goes, yeah, I think I prefer to have cancer. I take my risk. I take my luck with the cancer rather than take that fucking thing with all those side effects.
A Norwegian death metal band, though. Anal leakage. That'd be a great death metal band name.
Anal leakage. What about the blood farts?
Does it say that? Does it say blood? No.
Here's your blood fart. That was Billy Bob Thornton on, fuck, it was the Bad News Bands. It was the funniest thing. A 14-year-old girl comes up, we're going to go and see a band tonight, the blood farts. And there's Billy Bob Thornton shaking his head going, what? You're 40 years old, you should not be going to see bands called blood farts. Billy Bob Thornton. Have you ever seen the movie Bad Santa?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God. It made me laugh.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Now, just before I forget, because I'm getting old and tired, and I've been working extraordinarily hard the last few weeks, I think it's been.
For money.
But I'm getting a bit tired, and now I've forgotten what I was about to say. What was I about to say? I've done it. But anyway, what we've got to talk about is one of the big stories. I'm going to bring this up about the number 19 and 91. Now, who died age 91 this week? A monkey botherer, I call it. Monkey botherer.
Jane Goodall.
So she died at 91. Now, I've been seeing 19s and 91s in the news story lately, and I suggest this is not just a random coincidence, because it just happened that Nicole Kidman and poor Keith Urban, who married her, were together, and they had a big story, 19 years of marriage. Now, 19 is the moon cycle, metonic cycle. And they say you're getting 19s and 91s. They always have to say 19 years. Now, just remember, Tom Cruise, who was Nicole's previous husband, married all his wives. He married them young, but he divorced everyone at age 33 by weird coincidence. Now, Nicole Kidman and her family are tied up with all sorts of shenanigans. Now, her father, Dr. Anthony Kidman, he was involved with this the mind control experiments at in Rosehill Hospital, which I regularly walk around. And the winner is Sydney. And then, so Nicole, her name came up. I don't know if anyone's ever heard Candy Girl on YouTube, and that's that girl, I forget her name, from Sydney, who accused every single person in the media and politics of being a pedophile. And got she's out there. She's called Candy Girl online, and she was accusing Nicole. She said Anthony Kidman was one of the guys that was abusing her, and that Nicole one day saw her afterwards. I mean, I'm not even going to name the names because almost everyone you know gets brought up in this aspersions. But Nicole Kidman's brother-in-law, Angus Hawley, I think his name was, he died like 3 days after Dr. Anthony Kidman. They both died of mysterious heart attacks within 2 days of each other, or 3 days of each other, like really close together. And I'm telling you, there's a big there with Dr. Anthony Kidman. But poor, so I've always suggested that, what's his name? What his name is running in my head? Nicole's husband, Keith Urban. So she spotted him. I remember the cover. He was on the cover of Sydney Morning Herald's Good Weekend, and it had him sitting there with his long hair, perfectly highlighted, so with little blonde bits in it, sitting there with his guitar and a pair of leather boots, and you know. And she apparently, this is the official story, she saw that photo and went charging after him, and eventually they got married. And they've been together for 19 years. She is aging.
Yeah, well, this is the story you sent me. Astonishing Hugh Jackman connection to Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban's divorce. So Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban have got divorced, have they? As friends tell their bottomless.
Yeah. So
as friends tell them their bottomless need for sexual attraction and hint of betrayal.
Yeah, they're making it up. So they're trying to say that Nicole didn't want the split up. I'm suggesting that Keith Urban is looking at her going, "You are scary looking," and wanted out for sure.
Well, I'm looking at her. These are these latest pics.
Look at her. She looks like, you know, that movie V, when the woman pulls the mask off and eats a rat.
I do. 1985. Yeah, I do remember that.
She looks like she could pull her head off and eat a rat live on TV.
Yeah, her name was Diana. She was Diana, and she was a big lizard underneath when she pulled
Nicole's looking a bit lizardy. But I feel sorry for, this is where I feel sorry for Keith. She has made sure that he has never, ever, ever changed that image that he had from that cover of the Sydney Morning Herald circa, whatever it was, 20 years ago, 2005, when she first spotted him. He has to look exactly like that. All the highlights. Now, he's got brown hair naturally. He does not look like that. But he has a hairdresser that makes his hair the little streaks. She's not letting him age appropriately. Yeah, oh, for sure. Because he wants him to look like this good-looking guy that, because he is a good musician and a good singer and a great guitarist. And I think he's a nice guy.
I never understood why she hooked up with Tom, though, because of her height compared to him.
She's about 5'11".
She's 5'11", and he's 5'7". And he's 5'7". Like, so that's still quite a height difference. But now, it's nothing like that high difference that you showed me the other day with who was it? It was the Star Wars people out of character, standing together on that corner. That was a board panda joke, wasn't it?
Carrie Fisher would only be 5'3", 5'4". Tiny little thing.
Tiny. Harrison Ford was quite tall compared to her. Even though
he's standing next to the Wookiee. What's his name? The guy that played Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah. David, died after he did the first of the new Disney ones. Chewbacca, yeah. He was.
The cast is standing at the front pre getting their costumes done. In this photo from Pinterest, I guess it is, where you get this stuff. And standing next to them, though, is the guy that actually played not the voice actor, but the actual actor, physical actor of Darth Vader. Peter Mayhew played Chewbacca. Who played Darth Vader? It wasn't Peter Mayhew, was it?
Darth Vader. All right, here we go, Darth Vader.
6'6" or 6'7", like really big. And he was a wrestler and a bodybuilder and a bodyguard. But he didn't act. He just had to roam around, you know.
Yeah, well, he was upset, actually, I've heard, in the documentary. David Prowse actually played. David Prowse was the guy in the thing. But he didn't know that his voice was going to be then dubbed with James Earl Jones. He was very upset, apparently.
I am your father.
But he never said that. He never said, Luke, I am your father. Apparently, that's no. He said, it's something like, but he never said, Luke, what's that thing called? The Mandela effect or something? Mandela, everyone remembers. He said, Luke, I am your father. But he just said, we'll get Bella to play. Let me write that down. I am your father. And then he goes, no, that's impossible. And then, I mean, that was the best one out of all Star Wars.
Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill.
He ended up becoming the best Batman. The animated Joker. Batman was Joker.
Yeah, he does it almost as. Now, if you're going to rate them, the voices, I would say again because of bias, I would go Cesar Romero. You know, the one from the campy one.
Cesar Romero.
And then I think I'd go our boy Heath.
Oh, 100%.
I'm not sure whether I'm going voices or I think I might be going on. Jack Nicholson's fourth, I think. I'm gonna go Joaquin Phoenix. I know, and then I'll go Jack.
Joaquin Phoenix never played the Joker. He played the guy that pretended to be the Joker.
You saw it, so
therefore he does not. Can't call him the Joker.
We got the rug pulled out from under us with that Joker too. Yeah,
and you waited for 3 years, or was it 2 years that you said?
Saw that on my birthday a couple of years back. And look, I'd had quite a few beers, and we're in the super comfy Charlestown, you know, those super comfy seats.
Yeah,
it had just been done up, and
gold class.
Yeah, it was beautiful for my birthday, and what's her name was looking particularly, and she was singing well. It was just on rewatch. I realized sober. I watched it sober.
Worst
and
movie
it was
ever.
Bloody, it was bloody awful. But when I was a bit, you know, I was a bit squiffy. I was getting it was getting into it a bit, like, you know, not like a Rocky Horror Picture Show thing.
I think I'd need like five caps of MDA before I'd watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Actually, haven't you got a special what's in your hand? We'll do our what's in our hand. What's in your hand tonight? You got a special one tonight, haven't you?
I have. It's called, and I couldn't believe it was reduced to $48 for a case. The Chef Blend James Squire Pale Ale by Adam Lior. LIAW, Asian guy, chef from Sydney. I want to bring this conversation up. The Asians, and particularly the Japanese, their beer is up there with the Germans. The Germans and the Japanese put out the greatest beers ever. English, forget about it. I'm not a big fan. Irish Guinness, yes. So how come the bad guys of World War II make better beer than because the Americans, their beer is shit, guaranteed. Canadians not do they do a well, not there's a moose.
What did Monty Python call American beer? It's like making love in a canoe.
Yeah, fucking close to water.
That's the one. Mm. Oh, it's classic.
So anyway, I bought a case of the stuff because I thought Adam Lau, or I think he's Vietnamese or Chinese, whatever.
Yeah, I saw him on that reality show. He's a very popular guy. He's like,
well, let me just say this: his blend of beer is extremely drinkable. And it's very Japanese-like, so maybe he's Japanese, I'm not sure. But it's odd that the Asians and the Germans rule beer. There's no one doing better beer than those guys. Right. And they were the bad guys in World War II, the psychological
operation. Yeah, apparently so. One of my favorite Japanese drinks is sake, where you have it warm, and yeah, you really do have that warm. I know English beer you have warm, but you had this a lot warmer. You have it on the hot plate, and it's called sake, and it is a man. You can down that and get wasted so quickly.
You can, but let me just tell you now, sake, like oils ain't oils, sakes ain't sakes. There are so many different flavors of rice wine. It's not funny. It's 200 different ones in the bottle shop in Ashfield that the guy imports.
Really?
And I believe. Oh, yeah. He said he's the biggest importer. He imports the most from Japan. And so when it is in Sydney, Ashfield Bottle Shop. I love this bottle shop. Japanese run. I think they're Japanese, or they might be Chinese. But either way, their beers, they've got Japanese
Let's be racist. What's the difference? Japanese, Chinese, what's the difference?
Ask them.
Yeah. I think they'd get pissed off with that remark.
nothing like each other either. The Chinese and Japanese are totally different people. Totally different people.
I've met quite a few through baseball.
And you would?
The ones that come to Australia are all pretty easygoing, I think, because I think they realise the culture here is so laid back. Pretty much.
It suits them too.
They come out of their shell.
And it's much, there's a lot of Japanese over here and, really nice people. And I haven't been to Japan, but my son, daughter and, have both of them been there. No, it's one son and one daughter have been there and they love Japan. They've been there a few times. What my daughter has.
Have you been there? Have you?
No. I'm sad.
My brother has.
He's got an Asian fan, isn't he, your brother?
Oh, he's told me some stories about pretty young Japanese girls and what they do to you. I don't know if our audience is old enough to hear.
Possibly not. my cat is 12 and Rosie's how old now?
No, she just turned 10. Yeah.
And Susie's 50, so that's the three.
Oh, yeah. Susie wished me a happy birthday, so thank you for the birthday wishes, Susie. Mm. Our number one fan.
Yeah, our
number one. I knew you were going to say that. Our only fan. You remember only fan? We don't even need to get our kid off to have Susie as a fan.
Isn't it fantastic? This is the thing. See, I'm not part of this. Thank God honestly, Roland, there's not a minute that goes by that I regret not being my age now. Actually, there is times. Actually, forget about that one. Like, ignore what I just said. Joel, edit that out, please.
Would you like that word? I've been told to edit before.
I'm joking. It's so funny when you say, No, the producer will edit this out, and I know that he's not going to edit anything out.
Okay? No, he doesn't edit out shit because whatever's there, bang, up it goes.
Yep. That's right.
Get it right. But, get it right the first time. Get it right the first time, I'd say.
But when I think about the dramas that people have now with online dating, being connected online with, and when you split up with somebody, they're still around, etc. You cannot have, you know, just separate anymore because everything's connected. I don't like that. And I don't, these date, the dating apps and things like that, you know, the, which I experimented it with 7 years ago, I think it was, probably, roughly, or 8 years ago. Maybe 9 years. I might be 9 years this year. And I'm telling you, my experiences on dating sites, yes, you can meet lots of people, but, oh, my God, you can get into all sorts of mischief. And especially if you were in, on those ones, which I never went on to, the what's the sex one?
Yeah, you went on the Grindr. Yeah, you went on Grindr.
You know, you're listening to Rick and Rollo.
Happy birthday.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Yeah, Rick and Rollo, 49, Saturday, the 4th of October, 2025. Happy birthday to me. And you're on Grindr. You're on Grindr.com. And we've only got the best.
Well, the only story I've got
available.
It was when, in the gossip section of the Daily Telegraph, in Sydney Telegraph, they used to have a gossip section, which funnily enough, they've got rid of now, that you don't see that anymore. But anyway, there were guys when George Michael was in town saying they were getting buzzed constantly, you know, and they were contacting this gossip section that there's a well-known musician in town. And whenever he's in town, he just is hitting up guys on Grindr, which is, you know, named after. And I have to say, I guarantee it is named after the song Grindr by Judas Priest, another
let's get back to it. So the one that you were using was Tinder, right?
I used eHarmony.
That's the Australian one.
It's a worldwide one because I always end up with a...
But Tinder is another well-known one. But Grindr, that's funny. You could have hooked up with Alan Jones or you might have got George Michael or Freddie Mercury back in the day. Freddie was a bit too early for the internet.
he was thinking this, but did I tell you the story? A friend of mine who was a shirt lifter. No, was he a shirt? He was gay. You'd never know it, but he was. And he was telling us.
That on Australian TV that used to call them shirt lifters?
Barry Humphries. And his very
just call them shirt lifters?
Vegemite drillers, shirt lifters, and pillow. And you're either a shirt lifter or a pillow biter. There was only two.
Sounds like John Laws would say a lot of that. You remember that TV show in the late 90s called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? He had to interview them when he was on TV. And he called them, he goes, as a back announcer, he goes, what a bunch of pillow biters. And he got all over the coals for that.
What a bunch of pillow biters. Because that's what they were.
He was talking to the real queer one, that Carson Kresley one.
Carson Kresley, yeah.
And he talks really effeminate, he's talking to John Laws, and John Laws is going, why am I talking to you? It was a paid thing. He had to do it. John Laws against everything.
So basically, when George Michael was in town, people were contacting the gospel. They were saying that he was actively, he's 3 minutes from, someone was at Circular Quay. He'd spotted them on the Grindr app and pressed, you know, I'm 3 minutes away from you, probably up in the Intercontinental Hotel in leather, you know, dressed up waiting for them. But no, I used eHarmony, and I'm telling you, you will meet, what's the other one? Plenty of Fish.
Tinder.
No, Tinder's the one that I never, ever, ever looked at, but it's swipe left, swipe right. I know so many people that have used that site and they, you know, having regular meetups. But I'm just glad, I would have been using that back in the day, guaranteed. No way. The amount of trouble you get into and the amount of
Is this why now you're not an incel, but you're a vol cell? You said last week,
Not an incel.
Well, I'm with you, bro. Women. Can't live with them, can't kill them. Men, I mean, Jesus, I don't know. You know, sexually, I don't know how I would cope with that now. I can't even believe I was interested. Maybe I was messed by the big mainstream media.
This is the thing about gays, which I've always said, it's that you have a look, I can spot their eyes.
Dusty,
you
know, they've got, Jesus, it's bloody insufferable.
Hey,
it's Alan Jones.
Well, can't you sense there's dust in here? I can't breathe. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Well, there's fucking dust, and I've got a bloody record here.
I disbelieve you.
Right, well, let's start again. I can't record it here. I can't breathe.
Hello.
That was the ABC.
Did you hear Bella? That's Bella said. Actually trying to produce it.
That was the Christmas outtakes. Radio stations always.
It was called Radio.
Alan Jones got as producers. And I bet
Alan Jones presents. I am the king of the world. He was just so full of himself at that time.
But no, they all did it.
Like,
all the radio
announcers. Oh, thank you, Bella. Bella is wishing me a happy birthday.
I can hear Roland.
Go, Charlie. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip a card like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck if that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club. Full of bubs. Look, mommy, I got the
I've done so much crack tonight. Too much coke. I'm so drug fucked tonight. The only reason I like coke is it gives me hello, nitro.
Thanks, Joel. Fantastic stuff. The great Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Jolo's on the producer.
I would have thought he would have played the happy birthday by the Altered Images. Or what about it's my Scottish birthday, Prince. I'll cry if I want to, I'll cry if I want to.
That Altered Images song drove me mental, and that band, that woman, the Scottish high-pitched singing.
Yeah, that's, she was on Red Dwarf. That's Claire Grogan.
They had three massive hits in the 80s. In 83, when I first came to Australia, Altered Images had big hits, like Flock of Seagulls and those kind of bands. You know, like,
but Happy Birthday, listen to her voice, though. It goes, Happy Birthday! She has an amazing voice, and she's so beautiful, too. She wasn't much of an actor. And the cry.
Cheers, balls, Batman.
Is he circumcised?
Open up your bum. Looks like a dick going towards an arsehole to me. Oh, you did a good spanking. When he's supposed to be.
Hey! It's like a Freddie Mercury birthday party. You know what he would have? He'd have a whole bunch of dwarves, or little people you call these days, with like silver platters on their heads with cocaine. On the silver platter, and then everyone at the party, had a straw or a $100 bill.
That was the Queen. When they first made a lot of money, that actually didn't happen.
They went crazy parties like that, he didn't give a fuck. He just went, "Let's have a party like this."
Anyway, it was open
knowledge. Yeah.
Okay. No. So that's what I was getting to. This guy was telling us we're at the gym one day, and he said he was he was at the what was that one of those gay clubs in Oxford Street? I'll ask you that question because I don't know any of them. But
oh, it's called the taxi club.
No, it was the worst. A lot of them. It was one of the most notorious.
I was just thinking. I used to hear about Freddie Mercury's cocaine, and people said it was a small head rush. So now I know what they meant.
Yeah, no, what was it called? It was the
midnight one on the opposite corner of Oxford Street. Yeah, I know. It's called the Blue Oyster.
No, that was the back of another one. No, this is called the Midnight Shift. He said he was at the Midnight Shift and he was going. This is just after Freddie Mercury died. That's why he was telling us. He said,
okay.
He was standing there in his, waiting to pick up. He looked over and he saw a guy with a moustache, like looking at him. And he had to go to the loo for legitimate reasons, which is very rare in that area. And he said he came back, and this guy said, "You know who that was? That was trying to get you." And he said, "Who?" And it was Freddie Mercury was in there trying to pick him up, and he died of what we think about AIDS, but he died about 3 months after that night. And this friend of mine had said he was like that close to end up back at Freddie's leather party or whatever they got up to. So yeah,
he was looking a bit crook back then, but I've been into quite a few of those those pubs back in the late 80s early 90s when I was a very young man, and no shit, they were all in leather, they all had mustaches, they all had leather, and it was the most craziest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
And lots of
and there's me in my
you need a good spanking.
I was basically with my that's what they would probably said to me, that I need a good spanking. But I found it fascinating, but I never really wanted to be a part of the that.
So you I had a little
taste when I was a younger man. I had a little taste of homosexuality.
It's good that you can actually come out and just say that without on this kind of show, without being lampooned and called a raving poof.
Mm.
There you go.
You call me a raving poof here if you want to.
Well, I have done many times.
Yeah, well, look, once a poofter, always a poofter, eh?
There's career.
While we're still compos mentis, I sent Velocet. I really want to go back. I've been watching the baseball.
Yeah,
watching the baseball and these silly American ads. Now, can you play the? Now, let me grab my notes here. Velocet, I sent you an ad for Optivo Quavanti.
Jolo.
I sent you an ad earlier for Optivo Quavanti. Now, it only goes for 1 minute. Now, you listen.
Okay, here we go.
It's an anti-cancer.
Cancer isn't me. It's something I treat. And the less time I spend treating my cancer, the better. This is me.
Discover an injectable immunotherapy, Optivo Quvantig, for certain previously treated adults whose kidney cancer has spread. Unlike an infusion that takes 30 minutes, Optivo Quvantig lets you receive treatment quickly, in 3 to 5 minutes. Optivo Quvantig is an immunotherapy that works with your immune system to help fight cancer. Optivo Quvantig can cause your immune system to harm healthy parts of your body during and after treatment. These problems can be severe and lead to death. See your doctor right away if you have a cough, chest pain, shortness of breath, irregular heartbeat, diarrhea, constipation, severe stomach pain, severe nausea or vomiting, dizziness, fainting, eye problems, extreme tiredness, changes in appetite, thirst or urine, rash, itching, confusion, memory problems, muscle pain or weakness, joint pain or fever. Report severe or persistent muscle or joint pain. Tell your doctor if you have myasthenia gravis or Guillain-Barré syndrome. Immune system problems include Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis or lupus. These are not all the possible side effects. Tell your doctor about all medical conditions, including immune or nervous system problems, if you had or plan to have an organ or stem cell transplant or receive chest radiation. Optivo Quvantig can harm your unborn baby.
A chance to live longer. A treatment that's faster.
Ask your doctor about Optivo Quvantig. See OptivoQuvantig.com for more information.
We are living
See what I mean? See what I mean?
Like, oh, my, I can't believe it.
Not much has changed.
No.
When I was over there, that's what all TV ads, like, we still have diversity of ads here, like, for different things. When I was there, every ad is like pharmaceutical ads, and they have to legally list off every possible side effect. So every ad's like that.
Oh my God. You'd give up, wouldn't you? You know, you just say, I'm not going to take that. Because, anal, what was it, anal bleeding?
Velocet. My wife said, I'll take the cancer, thank you very much, when she heard the side effects. She was watching the same ad.
Rollo. I've been listening to some mainstream podcasts, and I'll keep bringing it up, that I Catch Killers one. These are big ones. These are ones that a lot of people listen to. And I am getting constantly adverts for the slimming drug, but they don't say what it is. They have really good adverts that are, it's a girl going, I'm getting up to go to the gym for the every day for is doing this.
Kybella?
It's not Kybella, but it's the one that the Ozempic. Yeah, but they don't name it. They don't name it. They just name the company, and at the end of it, it says, "Ad sponsored by Nova Disorientis or what? You know, I made that up, but it's that Nova company. So you know that these adverts now on Australian podcasts are all telling you how to get slim. And I'm telling you, that's two clients that I know of that are using this shit. And that's actually not called Ozempic. There's a different name for it that doctors are prescribing as well. And it's an injectable, and they've lost 20 kilos of fat. Yeah. So it works.
Ozempic, it makes it look so hideously bad. Look, it's Sharon Osbourne. Yeah. All right. She should use Kybella if she wants to look like Natalie and Brooklyn.
Let's say something a bit more positive.
All right. You put something that amused me on a Bored Panda thing. It was about Wuthering Heights. Now Margot Robbie and this guy called Jacob Elordi. And I read the article, and all the new people are saying, well, Kathy, you know, it's me, Kathy, played by Margot Robbie, is 40. Too old.
Yeah, exactly, and he's 40 years of age.
And Heathcliff, and the problem with him, he's not black.
Exactly.
And I went, hold on, I didn't read all of Emily Bronte's novel, but was he black?
No, but they're trying to say, apparently, so this is where you can't win. So they've actually put out a legitimate.
How did I know that Bella was going to play that?
Well, he's very good.
You didn't give me enough of a gap to put it in. You needed to talk that little extra 10 seconds for me to find it in the library.
Keep
talking about it, Rollo.
I read the article, and
Julie Andrews, they've actually tried to put out a legitimate version of, you know, just stop people, get, like all your YouTube heroes that attack every single woke film production. They've actually tried to do a legitimate one, and now they're in trouble for not whiting. They're calling it a whiteout. That they should have had, Heathcliff should have been black, and that Margot Robbie should have been a 16-year-old. And so you cannot win with the left Hollywood at the moment. Like, if you do it woke, you'll flop. If you do it legitimate, you're going to have the wrath of the media are coming after you for not making Heathcliff black. I mean, I'm baffled. That's why I shared it. I was like, you can't win anymore. You cannot win.
Reminded me of, that Doctor Who, that when they made Doctor Who black and gay and Scottish, wearing a skirt. And the guy who was the guy with the apple that falls on his head, the famous?
Newton.
They made him an Indian. You know, the BBC has gone so woke.
So basically, look, this film, this chick, the director of that new production of Wuthering Heights, she's actually tried to do it legitimate, and she's got into trouble for it. So this means that you can't win.
No, you can win. You can win. It's called the courage.
I bet you it makes money.
And having the courage of your convictions, and that's what we have here. Look, I'm my bladder's about to burst. You put now. Is this an Australian band? Mark's Knives, The Plague.
Oh, I was going to say, my bladder's about to burst too. I was going to go have a smoke. Do you want to play? Rick had a birthday song queued up for you, but we've got a break coming up in like 30 seconds. Yeah. So if you want to hear the break, and then we'll play.
We'll go for the break and then play.
There we go.
The song.
Good time. I looked at the clock for a change.
Woohoo!
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
The Vinyls, I'll Make You Happy, cover version, but what a great song. That was the closest I get to Happy Birthday to Rollo. Happy, she'll make you happy though, Chrissy Amphlett, Rollo. Is he still in the toilet? I think he might be. Rollo is still on the toilet. Chrissy Amphlett.
Sorry, dude, I was still on mute. My God, I lost my radio days. I was still on mute. I was talking to you during your back.
Oh, dear,
I remember Well, I got to say, I don't remember this. I've got to have it. Like your daddy did. I got to have it. Like your mommy. I remember it's a fine line between pleasure and pain and or Sleeping Beauty.
You know, great cover version of an old Aussie song from the 60s. But
and you played that just for my birthday. Well, yeah, I thought
I was trying to find the vinyls with happy in it, and I'll make you happy. But and I was, you know, I was singing the other night. I was, you know, that time I was in that she acted in this small independent film, and I was. Went to the opening night. I told you, and I seen her standing by herself. I was too terrified to go anywhere near that woman because I believed she was that personality. But in actual fact, that was a total walk-in personality that she had on stage and when she got on stage. She's actually a very well-educated and smart. And,
if she was still alive, you'd be similar ages, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, you'd be similar age. She'd be about 5 or 6 years older than me. I'm not sure, but maybe 10 years older than me. But she still looked, this is in the mid 90s, so she was still good looking. But I was too terrified to go anywhere and talk to her because I thought that was her personality. Because I told you that friend of mine who was the drummer for them for a while insulted her. Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't realize he'd insulted her. He went to the, they were drinking in a bar at the Cross. As you would be with the divine. And she lifted his skirt up and pissed in his schooner glass and stuck it back for when he got back.
Oh, yeah. She was well known for that. We saw her do that out at the Reesby Roundhouse.
She did it on a friend. She was.
It was one of her, what do you call it? Was just a. But every man. Who wouldn't? Yeah,
drink it.
Who wouldn't lie under her? But if he couldn't drink it was almost like a golden shower type thing. But
she used to urinate on stage. But I haven't heard too many people tell that story that she urinated in their schooner glass while they were in the
She pull her skirt up, pull her undies out, grab a schooner of beer, and you had to lie under her.
I don't know about that. This friend of mine was a drummer. Bullshit. He was the drummer in that band. He was the drummer, so I believe his version. Anyway, Joel.
Before we move on, I'll forget. Verilicious, you know, our friend from Queensland? Yes, she's just written in the show chat. The Grindr founder was a guy called Joel. Now, what was his name? Joel Sidney Kay, a Hebrew born and Israeli American French tech entrepreneur. He's the founder and CEO of Grindr and Blender. The original goal starting was finding similar interests to find near friends nearby. That's all he wanted. Yeah.
Turn into the greatest pickup.
That's what they all say. The groomers, find friends. Just here to help.
I just want to find a friend. One day I was sitting at this job, not far from that bar you just mentioned, Rollo. It was one of my jobs.
As a fellow Joel, I guess I could sympathise. He wanted to create that app to bring friends closer, and I created Truth Meets to bring some friends closer to me, I guess. There you go.
We can call it Truth Meets the Grindr app for the truth people. Yeah. Truth Meets for
at least we got a sense of humour. Oh, yeah. I tell you, it was the taxi club. Is that the one you're thinking of?
So, Roller, every Friday night, I'm about 3 minute walk from that. I don't know if it still goes. I think it's probably shut now. Anyway, one night I was sitting there waiting to get into this office because there were people there. And I seen this. There's a guy that lives across the road that he looks like Freddie Mercury too, funnily enough. And he's this big Argentinian guy. And you can just tell by his shorts that he wears that he's part of that shirt lifting pillow biting club. And He was standing at the front, he was standing at the front, kind of looking around, and I thought, what's he up to? And all of a sudden, I look down the road, and there's a guy holding onto a phone that looked like Tarzan, you know, the movie with Bo Derek. They had that, I think it was a French actor that might have been Christopher Lambert. Was it Christopher Lambert in the movie Tarzan?
Yeah, it was called, I think so.
Yeah,
it was a great movie.
He had this strange long head guy, and he was roaming around, and he's holding onto his phone, and he was obviously looking for something. And then I spotted this, you know, Freddie Mercury looking Argentinian across the road, and then I realized what he was doing. He was pressed. The Argentinian guy must have had, you know, I'm nearby, like George Michael would press the button, and it draws in these what would you call it? I don't say they might be all homosexuals, but they're up to no good. I'll just say that. Up to no good.
Nitrate.
Why is homosexuality up to no?
Because they like sticking things up their bottoms, Roland. Yeah. I think that's quite unnatural.
I'm looking at Christopher Lambert, a Greystoke legend of Lord of the Apes in 1984. And my God, if you are homosexual, this is the guy you're looking for.
Actually, no. The other
is that Jane Goodall? So is that her bothering chimpanzee?
Bothering monkey.
I swear to God, Jane Goodall in 1965, when she was bothering the primates out there in Africa, she's the spitting image. Listen. Her face is the spitting image of Scarlett Johansson. And if she isn't one of the prettiest women on this planet, for her face.
Truthmeets.com, from Wuthering Heights to Bothering Heights. There we go.
Oh, well done, Bella. Well done. Bothering Heights.
Yeah, no, it's definitely that these apps. Now, I was talking, I went on to that eHarmony, in 7 or 8 years ago. And you have to put
How many dates did you get, and how many did you marry?
Exactly. None,
how many kids but I'll did
tell
you?
I could have ended up back in another dead relationship with some mad woman.
Yeah.
And I did. I ended up in Vietnam with a girl from Paris. I did that within 2 weeks of going on it.
On
eHarmony. Yeah. Mm. And I suggest that eHarmony and all these dating apps. Particularly eHarmony, though, they ask you this incredible personal, you know, how you're feeling on a scale of 1 to 5 of this thing, or how would you feel about this person being that, or what was your religion? You know, really invasive stuff.
Okay.
And you fill it out. And next, you know, you'll start getting people from around the world, whatever area, so you could say Sydney, the winner is, or you could have
The winner Canada. Is Sydney, Australia.
Yep. And next thing you know, so you're on these things, and you're getting barraged by women, and you either like or don't like them or whatever, or you contact them. And next thing you know, you're online with 15 different people sending you messages.
I bet it's like cocaine. You were addicted to this app with these 15 women at the time.
I was single the first time in 14 years. Yeah. Thank God nothing worked out, because I would have been in another fucking disastrous relationship if I had him. So I stay off them. I haven't even looked at doing that thing, and I'm happy about it. I'm, again, Velcel. I am a proud
Velcel, voluntary celibate. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
if someone that came along that looked like, say, Tanya Roberts circa, what was that movie that she was in? Say, 1983, Tanya Roberts, and she turned up, maybe I'd think about it, but it's not going to happen.
Who's Tanya Roberts? Let's have a look her up.
She was the fifth girl on Charlie's Angels after...
Okay.
Yeah, and she's Swedish-blooded...
My generation would know her from that 70s show. She was in that when she was in her 50s.
Yeah. Oh, she is pretty. Oh, yeah.
But she dodged it. I'll tell you the interesting story that when they...
Yeah, she died in 2021.
Yeah, but they released that she died, and then they came out and said, oh, no, she's not dead yet. And she was still alive for about a year later, right, that they announced her death. But she's definitely in that 70s show, and she still looked pretty good, I thought. But being
they did a Rick, they did that here in Newcastle. They announced Laurence Olivier, the famous actor, that he died, easily in 1978, and they completely trolling. They got trolled.
No. I think they do it deliberately so that it created that whole vortex of people that were going to say, I thought they died 10 years ago, that Mandela effect thing.
Oh, yeah, the Mandela, yeah.
Because, the Queen, they announced the Queen's death a couple of times before she died. And so people go, I remember her dying in whatever month it was, and now she's died now. Because you see the news and you get it fed into you when you're driving, which are guaranteed driving is your most subconscious open, because you drive in your subconscious. Most people do. And so everything that comes out of your radio you're listening to, is fed into your head. So I think...
Have a look at that. Have a look at that Tanya Roberts that I put on Rollo's new balcony. Do you like that shot of her?
I'll tell you. Me and a friend of mine, we'd drunk a whole lot and we'd smoked pot and we went to see the movie The Beastmaster. Yeah. The Beast. We were 18 years of age, 19 years of age. And I remember we were sitting there and she comes on, I think it was full frontal naked or very...
Oh, was it? Oh,
nice. And I just can remember being 19 or 18 or 19 years of age staring at the screen going, oh, my God, exactly.
Mr. Ward. Nice one.
Yeah, but she was a... she's just, I don't know, there was something about her back then. I thought she was my favourite. But there's a whole lot more.
Well, mine was the blonde one. My brother's was always Jacqueline Smith.
Yeah, she's good looking.
Farrah Fawcett Majors. Yeah, she wasn't called Farrah Fawcett Majors at the time.
She was called Farrah.
Who was the other one?
It was Cheryl Ladd. Kate Smith.
Cheryl Ladd. That's right.
Yeah, and then
who remembers her?
I do. No, she was. I thought she was the most realistic looking. Well, Kate Smith was the realistic looking one that wasn't overly.
Kate Jackson. Farrah Fawcett, Jacqueline Smith, and then we had 2001, who drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu. But that was quite. But they made that a comedy.
Lucy Liu, I liked.
I think Lucy Liu's hot as.
Yeah, hot as.
She had, yeah.
Can I, Rollo, can I just tell you, when I drive through the city, because it's getting warmer, women are wearing outfits that they would never normally wear. It just seems to be, it's warm. And there's this new outfit that I see Asian women wearing, and they get away with it. A lot of them are very athletic.
Okay.
And this is kind of, it's like a singlet top that goes down. They have these kind of like cycling short type pants. Like, honestly, that shows the whole body. The whole body is showing. And I was like sitting at a in my van, and I'm looking at it going, "Fucking hell!" Like, you cannot.
They're not wearing face masks, so they're wearing this lovely attire.
Face mask on. I would not even look at them. As soon as I see face masks, no.
Yeah.
But they're either Japanese or Chinese or they're Asian, but they've got very athletic bodies. But there's a particular outfit that's like these kind of long, there's shorts that come down not to the knee, but they have a singlet on as well. And it's some kind of athletic wear from that Sarah, whatever that athletic company is. Verilicious will know about it, guaranteed. They are wearing these things around the city, going off to the, yoga or Pilates or whatever, in between living in the city, because a lot of people live in the city now. And I'm just going, look, honestly, I've still got that. I may be a vole cell, but I'm involuntary vole cell sometimes. When you see and you go, oh,
that makes sense.
God.
That means you will come out of voluntary and become.
I want to be involuntary.
Does that work?
You become an incel. You can go from vol-cell to incel real fast when you see these outfits. It seems to be there's a company that make this active wear for females, and I do the Baywalk and the winner is Sydney, guaranteed, or regularly.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the latest active wear that women are wearing around doing a Baywalk thing. And I'm going, and I've been in gyms for many years. This is like body contoured as tight as it can be. They've got their makeup on. They're wearing, their lips are plumped. Their eyebrows are slug-like. Their hair is perfect and they're all made up. And they're going exercising now. Anyone that is actually really, you're listening to
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too. At truthmeets.com. Click on.
You're listening to the Rick and Rollo show on the October the 4th on Rollo's birthday, episode number 49 of Rick and Rollo, and Rollo's 56 years of age. How wonderful for him. And back to Rick and Rollo.
Well, I think, thank you, Dave Edna Average. I think that's who it was, or Roland Rocchicelli.
It is my birthday.
It is my birthday. Now,
56, can you imagine?
I am 56 today.
Did you ever think when you were at school, and I remember thinking, what's it going to be like when I'm 39 or something or other? You know, I actually can remember thinking.
You're an old man.
But, you know, I remember when I was I'll tell you this, and I'm not joking here. I can remember in 1975 writing out my school banking, deposit, 30 cents or whatever it was back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
It was 1975, and I remember going, oh, my God, we're in the future. It's 1975. How amazing. Now, 50 years ago. I thought we're in the future 50 years ago. We're now in real future. And I'm going to tell you now, the media is just, what's going on with this Gaza stuff is just over the top. Like, you've got Greta Thunberg, she was the poster woman for the climate change thing. Forget about climate change. It's now...
You have stolen our future.
I hate Jews. It's now I hate Jews. You know, that's what she's now got. She got captured by the Israeli army on Thursday.
Rick, we've got a new one. I just sent it to Velocet. If Velocet could play this little clip from Sky News, I know Sky News is not to be trusted most of the time, but they're
It's entertaining.
This is Violet Affleck at the UN. Can you play that for a little bit of that for us, Bella?
Jolo.
Get it right, Rollo. Rollo and Jolo and and Rick. I think he's on his back porch. I know he's on his back porch smoking a bloody Manchester, an illegal Manchester cigarette.
Ghana delivered a speech to the UN about the importance of mask mandates in preventing the spread of COVID-19. I can't believe I'm reading this. Violet Affleck actually lectured the world about how the world is ignoring the ongoing pandemic and claimed that mask mandates were dropped too quickly. Listen to this.
It is neglect of the highest order to look children in the eyes and say, we knew how to protect you and we didn't do it. We have access to a technology to prevent airborne disease, something that millions of our ancestors and millions of people around the world today would kill for. And we refuse to use it. And I shudder to think of where we will be in another 5 years of unmitigated infection and reinfection.
Michael, should masks be coming back?
I don't think so. Fucking I think she needs to get out more. There are many dangers in the world. Airborne disease is one of them.
I think she should fuck off.
There are thousands of ways that people can lose their lives, sadly, you know, during their life, from car accidents, diseases, illness, wars, tragedies, mistakes, accidents. She can obsess about airborne diseases, and that's great, and she can wear a mask for the rest of her life. That's great. But I think she needs to get out more and realise that airborne diseases are probably not like the greatest threat to humanity.
Yeah, I love them.
She should perhaps start with poverty.
I don't know.
Wars. And diseases, yep. Malaria, et cetera. If she started with those, then people might take her a bit more seriously. But
yeah.
Airborne diseases and wearing masks, perhaps not at the top of the list, Gab.
It's hard to take her seriously. You know, I think, or as someone who lived in Melbourne throughout 2020, it's a little bit triggering seeing masks and even hearing the words mask mandates come back. Yeah. And just this week, Victoria's former Chief Health Officer, Brett Sutton, admitted that many of the insane measures intended to stop the spread of COVID were probably never necessary. And of course, Melbourne residents spent, you know, almost 300 days in lockdown, and Brett Sutton called that period a horror show, and he wouldn't be drawn on what kind of measures he meant that weren't necessary. But of course, we lived through it. I mean, it was absolutely insane. Children's playgrounds were closed. We couldn't go beyond 5 kilometres from our homes. There was a curfew that was never based on health advice. I mean, it's pretty frustrating after being put through so much. So many people had their businesses closed. You know, there's a whole mental health crisis after what we all went through during COVID. To hear now that actually some of the measures weren't necessary at all.
Yeah, and he was one of the principal problems during that.
Yeah.
So two current CIA, you know, actors, they produced a daughter, Violet, who's coming out and just reiterating this whole thing because they are definitely up to no good. There is stuff. Yeah, there is malfeasance.
So like the UN gives like so Donald Trump, you know, the president of the United States. And they're giving her just as much bloody voice. Whereas and what those people on Sky News there, as much as I Sky
yeah,
News,
they're saying 100%.
No, they are now, but they changed their tune. Sky News back then was just a part of this fucking fear lockdowns. Yep. You know, when Dan Andrews and fucking Gladys Berejiklian and Anastasia Palaszczuk and that fucking, that retard up there, you know, in the Northern Territory and every single state premier.
Destroyed.
Every single one of them, they really showed how much they hated their constituents. They hated them.
Yeah, but so this is what I'm getting at, though. So Greta Thunberg has jumped from climate change into this Gaza thing. So basically we're getting this. Huge, because honestly, if you say you're a normal person, which is very hard for you to imagine, Rollo, but I'll just say, if you're gonna imagine you're a normal person, if you're watching the news
I think it's
you're watching the stories from Palestine with now saying there's like, is it 60 to 600,000 deaths since October the 7th, 2 years ago? If you believe, say you believe 50% of the media, if you're not out marching against a supposed genocide, which is this is all that's going on in the media, genocide in Palestine. Now, all of a sudden, Greta Thunberg has jumped ship, pardon the pun, because she's actually on a ship, was heading to with the food for refugees in Palestine. You know, if now whether we believe that or not, I don't know. But then the Israelis have stopped and actually found her ship. They were drone striking, allegedly, the flotilla that was leaving from Europe to go to deliver food and nappies and, you know, stuff for the, you know, medical aid. If you are a normie right now and you're not on the streets screaming Israel needs to be destroyed, then you are not human. If you are a person that doesn't believe in the media, you've got no problem. But if you are, so you can see at the moment, there's this huge big swell of anti-Israel stuff of the magnitude I've never seen before going on right now. So all of a sudden last Thursday, sorry, yes, 3 days ago, they had to defuse the problem by saying that some crazy guy jumped out of a van in Manchester and stabbed four Israelis, four people going to the mosque. They've created a story where four Jewish people were stabbed by some crazy guy. Now, that came out of nowhere. It came out almost an hour after Greta Thunberg got arrested by the Israeli government. So now you've got this kind of 50-50 counterbalancing going on with anti-Israel, pro-Israel fighting each other. I've never seen the like of what's going on right now, but the fact that Greta Thunberg's involved, you got to be worried because they only brought that girl out to back in the day. Yeah. What did she say during COVID? Did you hear her saying about masks? Did you hear saying anything about lockdowns? No. But she's there now jumping around, as a major news person again.
She was there at airports trying to talk to Trump. She looks like now? She looks like Martin Bryant. You remember Martin Bryant?
Yeah, funny. She does, but she also looks like He-Man. She's got this like bowl cut long hair.
She's got a bit of He-Man look about her as well.
We're talking about
He-Man. Oh, let's get Velocet to play that theme tune. That's one of my favorite cartoons as a kid. He-Man.
There's a whole lot of stuff in that show, He-Man, that's worth.
Yeah, I loved it.
Another conversation in the future.
Post that to Rollo's balcony.
Things are just bizarre. So
here we go.
And the masters of the universe.
Yeah, thank you.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
by the power of Grayskull, I
became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became Man. The most powerful man in the universe.
Amyl nitrate.
Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
What a terrible voice.
I could run a better voice than that.
The voiceover, the voiceover artist, yes.
Yeah, I could have done better, the voice acting was
I don't think it was that guy from Westworld, but it was done by Filmation, and it was just used. It was a great, it
huge
was a,
show.
Every time Rollo. I went, let, have a look at,
show.
Yeah,
massive
have a look
show.
At,
massive.
Have a look at Rollo's new balcony. Now have a look at Greta Thunberg there and look at He-Man next to her.
I told you, it's the same person. It's the
look,
same
at that, look at her, look at her. They're the same.
Yeah.
It's classic.
No, honestly, I have never.
Yeah, I think Bella can see it. Bella can see it. Yeah.
I've been never but me more bemused that there's so much pop culture.
The eyebrows, too.
The same thing. Exactly the same thing. That there's so much pop culture and everything. And at the same time, they've stopped the vaccine adverts and they're just giving these Kybella and the Ozempic, they can shrink your jaw. These are the most perfect drugs ever for people that don't want to be fat, and no one wants to be fat, particularly females. It's just you don't need to go to the gym.
No, Rick, would you take the Kybella Like, does if it, I was does a female, Kymella,
if I was a female, yeah, but, and I had a big, huge, fat jaw.
Who was in a male that had a big?
If you're
jaw
a female
like that,
who eh? Resembled a pelican,
exactly. Yeah, you would. But I'm telling it, Rollo. This that they do work. Yes, you do lose weight, but at what cost? And what else is it shrinking? You know, it could be your brain matter.
Well,
you
know, we played it before, didn't we? We played the drug.
It could be your penis, just as Ozempic small penis syndrome.
God,
could be.
There was so much you could lose. I mean, your life. When they, it's one of the side effects of this drug, Optivo. Kvantig.
There's got to be a name. There'll be a name in there. I have to analyze. I bet you if I analyze it, there'll be some kind of one of those. I've been talking to Dave J on Sundays, and he's got this book that I've never actually read myself, but it's got the names of.
Can I tell you the truth?
I can't read. Well, I can't.
I'm not very well.
It explains
a
lot.
I've never been able to read.
No, but there's a book. There's some kind of book, and there's all these numbers of demons.
That's
and,
why I prefer audio books. I prefer audio.
I totally agree, Rollo. I'm 100% with that. And I should be. What's that? What's the company? Is it audio? What's it called? Does the book reading? You can sign.
I don't give
for.
A fuck. If someone reads it competently to me.
Who are you?
Yeah, Audible.
Yeah, I'll have
Audible.
Yeah, Audible. That's right.
Audible. Yeah.
And I'll have the book in front of me and I'll listen to the actual audio and I'll
no problem.
Yeah, I'll have the book in front of me and I'll turn the page at the same time. That's what I used to do.
Do you remember? So I'd have do you remember, the Audible. Rollo, do you remember as your childhood, and you're not that much younger than me by 5 years. We used to get these books and they were like, you'd have the, you know, the Disney, or you get a 45 record and a little booklet and you'd put the 45 record on the book and it would say, now it was Tinkerbell going, now turn the page. And you'd turn the book over when they had this Tinkerbell sound. They were like,
I've got a couple of that.
Oh man.
I believe you.
Well, no, you had a book with a little.
I had the same thing in my childhood where it told you to turn the tape over. Because I was from the later generation.
That was a later version, Joel. A later version. But they used to have the, turn the page. Ding, 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 ding. Tinkerbell says turn the page. And you turn the page and read the next page. And they'd read this. Yeah. But that was a thing. But honestly, man.
Back in the day, when you weren't being delivered, you were just as bad as we are at the moment.
Now, I just can't believe that Thunberg is this, like, literally, forget about what I used to say about old white people. I'm now an anti-Israel activist, and she is literally... come out of, you know, completely different. She's got a new haircut, He-Man haircut, and she's now saving the Palestinians. I mean, honestly, that's how dumb humanity is at the moment.
Greta, she's changed sides.
Like, if they said that the Palestinians were burning rubber tires every day, which they probably are for protesting and causing global warming, she couldn't give a fuck anymore. She's now saving the Palestinians. It's just, you know. We're living in Lala,
I watched the new South Park last night. The new South Park that dropped
last
night.
Is it good?
Well, it's not Cartman, not Stan. What's the other? Kyle. Jew. Yeah. His mother goes and gives it to Benjamin Netanyahu in the show.
This is called what did IPS used to call it?
It wasn't funny though. The show was. Yeah,
I know.
It's
but
not
what we're getting
anymore.
Now, what do the IPS call it? It's not. It's something program. It's like, it's right now programming. You're getting a movie. So, if you look at say Hollywood at the moment, there's two shows that have come out of nowhere right now. Anti-sovereign.
I heard he was Jewish. Is that correct? Seriously, I'm not joking.
It could be. So I was going to say conducive.
You played something the other day that made me laugh. The woman goes, you've come home drunk.
Rollo, Julie Andrews. Oh, that was funny. But no, Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Let me finish this. It's called concurrent programming. Concurrent program. So if South Park is telling you something right now that's going on in the same your news cycle, i.e. Donald Trump, Israel, Kyle being, you know, anti-Semitism, whatever, and you're getting Netflix productions, which, I know for a fact, take 4 years from the writer submitting it to the production team and then the putting out that show. And you're getting the same show on the same night, like what happened with back in the day. There was a big shooting in America that you couldn't see it on the news, but Stranger Things had exactly the same story on that exact same night that you could actually see kids getting shot at school, because Stranger Things on Netflix, you can actually show. You're listening to Rick
Happy
and Roll.
Birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
You come
Rick
out.
And Rollo, Rick and Rollo, episode number 49.
That's the best way to come out, with an instruction to come out.
My bad.
You come out now.
The 4th of October, 2025, Rick and Rollo, the greatest show, the show that should be syndicated on FM radio, because I've been listening to, I'm telling you, Rollo, I've been listening to the most woeful, woeful FM radio afternoon hosts and morning hosts that I've ever heard in my life. We have lost the days of Doug Mulray and doing his, comedy shows, and the guys that Joel worked for, those two. Even them,
No.
I'm talking about the breakfast host of Triple J. That were actually pretty funny.
He didn't make his real money until
American Rosso.
American Rosso would be better.
Were you, Rollo? Were you just about to say, but he didn't make his money that way? Like what? I mean, a fucking employee of a company. It wasn't like I was like getting like cash in hand from people. For certain gigs.
That would be nice, sure.
But, I'm going to get going soon, shortly, guys, because I've got a very early shift tomorrow. But I just wanted to mention I have had another donation from Klaus Schwab and another Anonymous with a very nice amount. So I do appreciate Anonymous knows who he or she is.
Fantastic.
So I just want to thank everyone for supporting the platform. That's why we're here tonight.
Klaus Schwab keep making this happen. I always suspect that he
did enjoy listening. And he's been on enough times, but now I know he really does support the platform.
Oh, he's a keen fan. He came on and actually sent a voice message, which I managed to play through my phone, to Rollo tonight. He came and announced, he sang happy birthday to Rollo.
Which was wonderful.
The original
Klaus Schwab coming on wasn't like Rollo getting his birthday text from Elon, was it?
There was
nothing to be suspicious about?
No, it was a bit more realistic, I do believe. It was Klaus Schwab. Can you imagine?
Hey, Velo, why are you still there?
Yeah.
Can you play this Magic Knives song I just sent to you, The Plague? I really like this.
I found it on a Media Monarchy show, and I thought that would be a great song for Dexter.
It's brand new.
It sounds like a real psycho woman would sing that.
No worries. I'll play that before I go. Then from then on, I'm going to have dinner and wrap up for myself.
Yeah, good,
you guys do your thing, and I have to tack your song on later and that. I can't stay till the end because I really do need to get to bed.
By all means,
continue having fun and doing the show because, as Verilicious said, we're very funny tonight, apparently. I thought we were being funny every week.
Oh, funny.
Joel, we are very thankful for you and your platform.
I appreciate it.
Do not delete it. Keep it up. Keep it up there.
I'm not planning on deleting it.
How many drinks have you had?
It's only weird.
How many drinks?
The only thing that maybe we want to delete it is weird competition from other platforms that feature 14-hour talkers. But, you know, what kind
of
that?
Yeah, no, yeah. What can you do about it? Look, I'll tell you what you do. Ignore.
I'm trying. I'm trying my best. It's one of those things you've got to like forge on with your own path. You know, that's what, like, the conventional wisdom says to do that. So I'm just trying to do that. But like, I would have, I think half the reason I built this platform is like, oh, you want to talk? I can facilitate that. And then, like, of course, they go to your competitor and like leave you in the dirt. Okay, fair enough. Right. I see how it is.
So, Joel, I'll be doing a Be Told tomorrow night after I do Dave's show on, I'll be doing a Be Told show. Right. And I might actually keep going a little bit later with organise anyone to come on or want to have a chat.
By all means.
But be tomorrow night.
The space is wide open.
Just before you go, Bello, this Magic Night song reminds me so much of Scrounge of that was on Dexter, the Resurrection. Yeah, yeah, this Magic Night sounds so much like Scrounge. So can you mix?
I'm not going to do that on the fly. I'll play it and I'll see if I hear it.
See if you can mix it in with Scrounge Badoo.
I'll play it. If it is, I'll do it next week.
Joel, ignore that. But the song, I'm not sure the band's called The Plague or Magic Knife. I think it's called Magic Knife.
Magic Knives, The Plague. And it only dropped.
But which is the artist and which is
now
the
it
song.
Only dropped 10 days ago. And do you know how many views
it dropped? Dropped. Listen to you. You're like a fucking producer.
It's got 20,000 views already. It's got 20,000 views.
Soon a lot of things do.
Soon as I heard it, I went, that would be a great song for
it's a female band, a female drummer,
it's four guys about our age.
Oh, I thought I fucked up.
The lead singer.
Get your story straight.
It's definitely a female, whoever wrote the song's female for sure, because it sounds like a real angry female. And she's got a great voice, but you can't tell if it's female or male.
It's awesome. Here we go.
I'll play the song. I'm going to make dinner. If I happen to come back and play a clip or two, don't get your hopes up.
I'll be going off
to bed. I'll just have it on in the background. But happy birthday to you, Rollo. We'll have a Bilderberger here soon so you can bring me my 600 for supporting the servers and everything else. And then,
600 buckaroos. 600 buckaroos.
Okay, and good. Thank you to Anonymous and Klaus Schwab for the donations too, because it's kind of running.
Rick and Roller. Magic Knives, The Plague. I'll be waiting.
Did the back announce? Rick? Hello, Rick. Rick.
Sorry,
Rick. Did the back announce?
Rick.
You know, you're on mute. Do the black announce.
It was either Magic Knives or The Plague.
Yeah.
I think the song's the band's Magic Knives.
No, the band is the Magic Knives. Yeah. I just looking them up. They're great. They're a very young band. Yeah. People might think it's a little bit boring. I mean,
to me, that I love that gothic kind of. I love malfeasance in lyrics, you know, because there was some. I guarantee the female that sings, the lead singer, is the one that wrote that song. Guaranteed, you know, she's obviously singing about a relationship that didn't go too well, and she's ready to come out and get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And that's what the women think like. I guarantee you now, they hold grudges.
I mean, who wrote the best song about that? The best song, that Canadian. Jagged Little Pill Woman.
Yeah, yeah. Alanis Morissette. Every time I hear Jagged Little, that whole album, it's like a woman that's got scorn.
My God.
You know, every time I scratch my nails down the back, you know, when I'm fucking in water, she's a real nasty piece of work. Alanis Morissette is probably a screw.
I don't know. Maybe her boyfriend was a piece of shit. Who knows? But, I like that tune it reminded me of Scrounge from Badoom, 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 because that's my favorite show on TV of all time at the moment. Dexter. Because it's not work. Dexter Resurrection. Yeah, with and you know the show's got money when you can afford Uma Thurman.
Yep. Uma Thurman and Peter Dinklage, you do not get those two cheap, guaranteed.
And Cooper Stets, and the sets are an absolute, and the writing. I swear to God, I love Dexter Resurrection. Look, I watched the brand new episode of Tulsa King last night with my wife. As good as the T-1000 on her massive TV. I swear to God, I'm there cooking her dinner. I did all the washing up. I was the butler.
On your birthday Eve, you cooked. And
yes,
made dinner for Christy.
Yes,
now, no wonder she still puts up with you. No wonder she still puts up with you. Because that's the kind of thing
it's for me to say sorry for being the asshole that I was most of my life.
For sure. Yeah, no,
and her putting up with me. Yeah.
And she, look, Christy,
you know what,
is what I
think. She bought me a present today. Yeah, she bought me another gate.
Hang on, Rollo. Was it a skydiving ticket to go skydiving?
with a parachute that won't open.
She'll pack, and you'll leap out of the plane, and you'll pull the cord, and a whole lot of knives and forks, and the barbecue equipment. Christy is a saint. She is a saint. She's put up with you and been concerned about you when you were at your worst. And I have to be a living witness to this. She contacted me, concerned about you jumping off bridges.
It's all driving
to the bottle shop after three bottles of vodka and somehow able to reverse the car down that driveway. The driveway of death.
He's still there. He's still there. He's still there.
He's having his burger. He's built this amazing burger for himself that we all be jealous about. How wonderful.
Who is it?
It's probably some famous 50s singer.
I'm sorry.
Sounds a bit like Klaus Schwab's auntie.
A part of being young, but I don't
write. Rick and Rollo, episode number 49. My God, we are really knocking it.
We are knocking it back. Now, here's a thing that I read. Horrendous and insulting backlash erupts over. So, Wuthering Heights. Again, have we spoken about this?
We're talking about whitewashing. So that's
now. Back in the day, the book was written by Emily. Was it Emily or Charlotte Bronte?
One of the three.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, how old's Margot Robbie? She's got to be our age.
She's 20 years younger than me. And at least 25 years younger than you.
And Heathcliff, right, was not a black man. He was not black, was he?
No.
So why are these? Why are people insisting on raging
against? It's just unbelievable. I shared that because I am baffled.
I read the article. They wanted Kathy to be not only race changed, but gender changed. So they wanted gender Margot change. Robbie. To be a black man in a wheelchair whirling towards each other. You know when they run towards each other on the cliffs of Dover.
Yeah, we are living in la la land.
I love that song.
That was a great song.
I can't remember.
Can I just say the last time I was in Byron Bay, the best nightclub there was called La La Land. Well named because most people in Byron Bay are dropping pills and the pills, the thrills, the kill, a million brain cells. That was Byron Bay.
Who lived up there? Delvine Delaney, wasn't it?
She's still alive, as usual. Now, I want to know how come women outlast men by at least 20 years?
And she still looks hot. Remember with her, but with not her as Paul
hot,
Hogan?
Not as hot as she did in 1975, I'll just say that.
She had
a body on her.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Up there with Tanya Roberts. I have to keep bringing that woman up, but she's Swedish. Or there's something about if you blend.
Well, I'm looking at the moment. I'm looking at Heidi Klum's Fully Sheer does dress with bong.
Let's talk about that. Heidi Klum, who's a model. Turned up with her. Heidi Klum is 54 years of age, right? She has turned up on the catwalk at some, on the stage.
She does look like that. Yeah, she
exactly.
Does look like that.
Yeah. And anyway, she's basically got a sheer outfit that you can see her knickers, her boobs. You can see her breasts, but they blacked it out because you can't do it on that site that I keep using? I keep finding stuff on. Is it Penguin or whatever it's called? Some site on Facebook. Oh, look, I'm totally...
Reddit.
Bored Panda.
Bored Panda, yep.
Yeah, okay. Keep going. Now, so her daughter is now trying to be a model, much shorter than she is. Heidi Klum's about 6'1" or whatever. And the daughter's much shorter. But she turns up with her mother, and mother has basically got her tits out. You're listening to Rick and Roll.
Happy birthday to you.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And good evening now to the October the 4th. Special birthday edition of Rick and Rulu. Happy birthday to Rulu, 56 years of age tonight. And we're back to talk about Heidi Klum and her boobs.
told.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Kenny Everett. What a funny little guy you are. Heidi Klum. Yeah, Kenny Everett. Who doesn't remember him? Heidi Klum. Yeah, I'm sure you do. I certainly do.
Heidi Klum. She's come out with an outfit on, completely see-through. So you can see she's wearing a pair of undies. Thank God for that. And you can, like, I mean, honestly, at 54, if you've given birth naturally or unnaturally, whatever, it's very unlikely your body's going to look like it did when you were 18 years of age. No problem if you're going to wear that outfit. She's 54 years of age. Her daughter.
Right. I mean,
it's like.
Do you want me to read it for you? Heidi Klum's fully sheer dress with the thong reveals more than it covers. Vetements Paris show. So Vetements must be Paris. Okay. Heidi Klum, 52-year-old supermodel, has stepped into a Paris Fashion Week to look seen to draw ridicule and praise from other viewers. The appearance came during a Vetements Women's Wear Spring Summer 2026 show on Friday. Klum, with his sheer lace gown coupled with a bizarre accessory gold glitz flashing across her teeth. So she's wearing gangster grills. That's grills. Yeah, the gangster teeth. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me of Jaws from I'll probably wear teeth like that back in when I lose all mine.
You've got to have teeth to put grills on, Rollo. You can't if your teeth fall out, you can't wear those grills. Yeah. So basically, Heidi Klum. Now, look, I've been out of the.
She's cute. She's cute.
Yeah, but she's like Madonna, is a classic example. Like, she lost her looks probably 20 years ago. Yeah, maybe 30 years ago. Whatever. She's given birth to one or two children naturally. I'm a male that now regrets many things. It was when I was young and had the looks, I didn't spend more time going out and being, you know, well, actually I did, yeah, but I did it in funny
stages. You should read Steve Waugh's book. Read Steve Waugh, he had no regrets. Now let's talk about this. Look, I don't want you to talk about regrets. Here's a guy called The Rock. He's in a new movie that's coming out this week called The Smashing Machine. And we were talking last week about the wrestler. Yep. Okay, with Mickey Rourke. Do you think he'd have any regrets?
Mickey Rourke doesn't. I doubt he has any regrets. He's just that kind of ego.
Yeah.
But The Rock is coming out in this new movie.
Well, this looks really good. I haven't seen it. It's called The Smashing Machine. It comes out next week.
He doesn't look like The Rock in it, though. He's made sure he doesn't look anything like he used to look in this particular movie.
Yeah, that's I don't know if I send the trailer to Bello. No, do you think
we don't need to hear the trailer, but
no, they don't.
We can't see it because you need to see.
But he looks like he can emote. The Rock normally just plays The Rock,
and he moves his eyebrow a funny way.
That one eyebrow that goes up. Yeah, that's right.
Someone must have said to him, Hey, Rock, that's great. Keep that look up. And it's like, come on. I mean, look, honestly, he can't act. He's not a guy that can do an emote. Robert De Niro.
Good luck to him.
He's not Robert De Niro.
Well, Robert De Niro, again, back in his younger days.
Could act.
He was best at his craft, and then he got Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh yeah,
that's the problem with a lot of these actors.
I think he got told to have it though. I don't believe. Trump? I would honestly say to you that if there was a nightclub going on, and Donald Trump turned up, Robert De Niro would be, they'd be had their arms around each other.
Oh, they'd be all kissing, yeah, kissing and cuddles.
Kissing and cuddle.
Yeah. it's quite often like that with politicians and
look at what's her name.
Hillary, disgusting. Yeah, go.
Hillary Clinton was always, you know, supposedly the person that Donald Trump was going to jail. And then you have a look at photos online, which are very easily found, with Hillary and Donald with their arms around each other, grinning away to the camera.
Well, totally fake.
They're as real
it's getting harder and harder these days when it comes to deepfake. And that it's like,
Exactly. And this is the problem. We are living in this la-la land of mainstream media putting out anti-Israel and pro-Palestine stuff at the same exact time, and you're not allowed to actually have any view of either one. If you do have a view...
You keep saying that song. I mean, we're going down to...
Down. Yeah.
Those little pills, I remember, you and Milton were on our balcony.
And doing a million on that
balcony. Yeah, we were listening to it on my balcony.
I just remember me and Noise Level in the lounge room dancing away to him too. God knows what.
Yeah, because he had a heap of pills too. Yeah, because he was a legend. Yeah.
Yeah,
I hope he's still with us. I haven't heard from him in ages.
I haven't contacted him, but I should, because he should be on here. He should be on here every single Saturday night, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Great combination. Yeah. The quadrilla of me, you, Noise Level, and Jolo. Jolo.
I'm just going through all these old songs like The Wombles, Remember You're a Womble. Okay, yeah, Rain Spark. Race Park,
I used to go
there and have warm beer from a low bottle.
Lolo, shut up.
Here we go. Looking for the after party to begin. I'm going down to La La Land. I hope to see you soon in La La Land.
So pills unreal, the thrills they yield until they kill a million brain cells. Something about those little pills unreal, the thrills they yield until they kill a million brain cells. Now I need to go. Who's gonna give me a ride to the after show? I hope that I have enough change so I can make my brain rearrange. I'm going down to La La Land. I hope to see you soon in La La Land. Something about those little pills unreal, the thrills they yield until they kill a million brain cells. Something about those little pills unreal, the thrills they yield until they kill a million brain cells. What a song, man. Fantastic. Those pills, the thrills, they kill a million. Now, I had enough of them back in the day. How can I think straight on my feet? But, yes, I can. Well, those were
Rick, for the life of me, I can't. Who was the actual band that was?
Velocet. Jolo's trying to go to sleep.
Jolo played it.
No, he's got his wee willy winky outfit on. No, he's dressed up. He's got his pajamas on.
Let's look it up. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it.
I think it'll be on Triple. I bet you it was on Triple J's Hottest 100 back in.
It's a great song though.
Yeah,
were you up and down? I was up and down.
Yeah, I was roaming around.
I had it on my big loudspeakers here. I call my little house now a roaming caravan.
The little house on the prairie.
A little roaming caravan. But you guys came here and you enjoyed yourself here. It's a perfect house for me, right?
I keep thinking though, Rollo, I had to sleep in your garage on a blow-up mattress, which was...
Yeah.
But somehow I had a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I did.
I swear, I mowed every inch of the grass this morning, and my wife came down, and we'd whacked every inch of all the weeds
were. She did the hard job, and you just mowed
Well, she came down because she has the electric weed whacker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I just gave her the big long extension cord, and there's on the side of the garage, darling, here's a long extension cord.
Could you cut my leg? She went down there
and did all the weed whacking for me.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Remember, it was my birthday today, and birthday boy gets a lot of things.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Back in the day, I got a lot more, if you know what I mean. I'm pointing to my nose now.
So it didn't include whacking Christie's weeds.
Whacking Christie's weeds. Woo! Hey, Velo, can you tell me who sung that? Those little pills, the thrills?
I just closed it. Let me pull it up. Wait a minute.
No, it's okay, man. I just want to give them credit, it was Green Velvet, La La Land. That's it.
Right.
It was in there. It was in there somewhere. Thank you, Bella, for playing that.
Thanks,
those
John.
The pills, the thrills. That was such a good song.
Good song, and it was a great era. So Byron Bay. Having a good time prior to having children. I shouldn't say that, but prior to having children.
Yeah, say whatever you want.
The best bar was called La La Land, and it was and we were there on a Sunday night, and I was with some English DJs having a fabulous time. I just have to say that. It doesn't matter what the weather. It was a great time. Those were the days. Some of my best days were going to – the English, I'll tell you this about the English. Forget about their beer. The beer is appalling.
Warm and appalling.
Yeah. Warm and appalling. But as far as music and party goes, they source it. They just know the best music. They're very good with music. No doubt about that. Very good with colors and music. And I shouldn't say good with colors, but they are fantastic. Their beer is shit. Japan and Germany destroy you all when it comes to beer, guaranteed. Be told. And there's no, they're great.
Well, Japan will destroy you on their rice wine.
Sake, for sure, 100%.
Sake, and actually, they've got a what's that canned beer over here? The Japanese,
Sapporo, that's
not too bad either.
That's fantastic. You're
talking about Asahi.
No, Asahi is brewed over here. No, but they brew most of the Asahi over here, but a Sapporo is actually brewed in Vietnam, the closest one we get. The big cans that you see in a bottle shop are coming from Vietnam, and they are the probably one of the greatest beers next to the other beers out there. But, you know, I'm telling you, there's something about Asians and beer and Germans and beer. Why do they make it better? Why do they make it better?
Asians and beer and Germans and beer. What am I drinking right now? I've got Tamara. I've got. Let me read it. How drunk I am? Tamavo vodka, 4 times distilled. And let me read this can. Red Bull energy drink with taurine, vitalize the body and the mind. It actually says that on the can. Vitalize the body and the mind. And it means that you can jump off.
Pretty sure the small print says use with caution.
Use with caution.
Cigarettes. Didn't cigarette packets have back in the day a caution
Didn't they
give you cancer or
No, they meant there was no mention of any of that.
I remember now. Australian cigarettes back in the smoking is a health hazard.
Big deal. Doesn't cause that was vagina, it. Now it says vaginal leakage. What did you say before about blood leakage? Or,
do you want Bellicent to play that ad again?
Please
play it again. Play it again. It's classic.
Vaginal leakage.
It's so funny.
No, I'm not going
to. I'm not going to play it now, but I'll add the list of side effects to a clip for the future. I think is a funny way to integrate it later on.
It is funny though. I'm like going, please. No wonder Christy said, "I'll just trust. I'd rather have cancer."
I will take cancer instead.
Instead of your product. Can you imagine, though, being told that, you know, you're going to have anal leakage?
To be fair, Rollo could be taking the drug and she'd say, I'd rather have cancer instead. Roast comedy now all of a sudden.
I don't like being roasted. It's my birthday. Roast me. Roast me. You don't know me enough to roast me.
Yes, I
know you enough. I know Vella enough to roast.
I'll give you a good roast. Rollo was a very generous individual who gave me somewhere to stay where I had nowhere to go. So there you go. How's that for a roast?
That's not a roast. That's too sweet.
I was being sarcastic.
You're going to make me cry.
Of course it's not a roast. Of course it's not a roast.
That's
You kicked me out for the wrong reasons, but the first intentions were good.
Well, I was having issues vodka. With my neighbor, and it wasn't with you.
Vodka issues.
I really do apologize for that. I was going through my own mental issues, and look, we can all enjoy the comedy of life, the absurdity of life, and. Rick and Rollo with our special guest, Vella.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Go.
All right. There's always time for serious, and there's always time for comedy.
Rick and Rollo. There's always time for lubricant.
Yeah, thank you. Rick and Rollo, 49, Saturday, the 4th of October, 2025.
Happy birthday to me.
Yeah, happy birthday to me. But yeah, okay. Rollo. So I'll tell you something, guys. My wife is on Facebook, and my brother.
wish me a happy birthday through my wife Christy on Facebook.
Princess, 56.
And I said to her, and I said, "What did you say back?" And she said, "I didn't say anything back." And I said, "Good." And I said, "Send back this. You took the vaccine. You took the
vaccine.
I don't know if it was Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer or Moderna or AstraZeneca. Whatever. I don't know which one he took, but he did not look good to me. And I said, how disappointed I was straight to his face. I said straight to his face. I said, you're such a disappointment to me. And I haven't seen him since, ever since, we left that day. And that was in 2020, right? And then I get this morning, because it's my birthday, Chrissy says, wish him a happy birthday. And I said to Chrissy, what did you send back to him? She said, I didn't say send anything back to him. I said, well, send back this. He died a year ago. And she goes, no, I can't, I'm not going to send that.
No, that's all right. Neat roller.
No. Okay. Thank you, Bella. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right.
The
next answer. Okay. The next answer was going to say, why are you still talking to me? You obviously vaccine damaged. You've copped a vaccine injury. To think that I would still want to have anything to do with you. And she wouldn't send that either.
I support Christy's decision.
Yeah, what a bitch.
Well, she's not a bitch.
Between you and your family argument? Yeah, what? Crazy.
Yeah.
Bloody women.
Bloody woman. Yeah, yeah. Honestly, Rollo.
Yeah.
Your brother is a nice guy. Guaranteed. Is he? Nice guy. Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah. You haven't lived with him.
No, I haven't, but, you know.
He took
a vaccine.
Most of his life, yes, he's a very full of himself. It was the COVID that really threw it over the edge.
You're not fooling yourself at all. No.
Well, what's wrong with having a little bit of play that song? Ego.
Raised in the same family, but yeah, he's full of himself.
Well, ego, it's not a dirty word.
Yeah,
ego.
You're only creating like vaguely tangential lyrical relationships between what you're saying and playing a song.
Oh, look, my brother just took the goddamn jab to get on the plane, and there is a guy that I know that worked for the New South Wales Railroad, who took a stance and said, "I will not take the jab." Do you know who that was, Velocet?
Jolo.
There was a guy.
Jolo.
There was a guy.
Who? You're talking about me?
Velocet, you're so funny.
Oh. Yeah.
Of course, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about someone who took a stance.
You're going to be a very angry person for the rest of your life if people aren't living up to your standards.
Well,
it's
you
funny.
Live up
it's,
to my standards.
It's funny. I know. In some ways, it's funny though, because I don't live up to my own standards in a lot of ways, and you don't live up to your own standards in a lot of ways. We're all struggling to live up to our own standards, but yeah, we don't meet each other's bars. And you got to give people a break by now. We've all heard it. The amount of people I've spoken to at work, like I used to be very closed off at work and wouldn't mention why I left and why I came back, because I thought people would judge, like think, oh, gee, he's a risk. He's like, you know. But then the more people I've spoken to out in the mountains, they all like regret it and go, I wish I hadn't done that. Yeah. Like it was all pressure at the time. And I go, oh, gee, I stuck by it, but I can't blame people for feeling pressure at the time. I know the pressure was there. I just had a particular penchant to like shove it up the man and go, no, not me. But like, I don't blame the average NPC for doing whatever they did. No.
No, you can't. And you can't and you won't. But you know, what I do see this though, is when I roam around and I look over and I see someone with a full mask on and I think, you fucking spastic, you know, like right now, you know, and you see them sitting outside hospitals and stuff like that because I've been told you have to wear one if you come in here, and they're out there breathing their own breath, you know, like, come on. If you think that's going to be helping you and you're exactly, you might as well be farting into your own mouth. Which is basically what you're doing, guaranteed.
Mm.
Guaranteed. Hey, Rollo, we'll go soon, but I actually sent Joel another song, which would be great to end the show, and we'll keep talking afterwards. But
we'll have an after show.
Yeah, why not?
After show, might as well. Yeah, a birthday after show.
Yeah. Now this song is the one of the greatest songs.
A birthday after show. We'll call it a BAFTA show.
The show.
Yeah,
I would have thought if it's my birthday, I get to go to the song.
No,
to go
no, you can do that. No,
no,
we do that.
No,
yeah, no, no, Rollo, please, come on, you're not that special.
So you can pick the song for Rick's birthday. When are you getting older?
Yeah, yeah,
Rick? to be disclosed.
Rick,
I'm very special. I'm very special. Now we're going to go. Rick and Rollo, we're going with Motorhead doing a cover version of God Save the Queen, which I think is easily as good as the original. And it's wonderful to hear Lemmy, who about 5 years ago, still singing and sounding fantastic. And Lemmy, great, fantastic.
Do you want me to play that now and then you can do your after show?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
exactly. No worries. Thanks. Happy birthday, Rollo. Good hearing from you, Rick.
Thanks, Joel. You're the best. Jolo. birthday song. No future for you, Rollo. No future, no future. What a great version, though. I think Motorhead, the only band
I know where we're going to quiet out until the... that's okay. I honestly, Lenny Kilmister's version of God Save the Queen, it was a great cover of the Sex Pistols.
But you never, when you
hear the first version and then you hear a cover version. It's rarely as good as the original original.
100%. But if there was one band cover a Sex Pistols song, I think Motorhead did a pretty good job of it back.
Lemmy, I mean, Ace of Spades. How many covers have you heard of Ace of Spades? You can't do it as good as Lemmy did it. You know, God Save the Queen. I think it's McLaren and. Did he write the song, or did Johnny Lydon write the song?
I'm going to suggest it was written for them.
Yeah,
or someone completely different that wanted that song to become, to destroy the English.
Yeah,
the mentality that was,
or the music to turn it into punk. I mean, punk.
I do not think that Sex Pistols wrote anything of that first album. And I'm telling you now, Rollo, that album, I bought it in 1979 or 78.
Yeah.
Okay. It was at least a year after it had been out. And I couldn't believe how good it was. And when you listen to that album, the backstory is that these guys, the Sex Pistols, were not musicians. They were untrained musicians, and somehow this perfectly recorded album just came.
They were good enough.
Oh, for sure. And there's so many good songs, and we've played so many.
And there are people that say that Sid Barrett.
He couldn't play a note.
Too many Sids in England at the time.
Sid Barrett was the guy that blitzed himself
on LSD.
What a coincidence you had Sid Barrett and Sid Vicious.
Sid Vicious, I mean, he was, he
couldn't play a note.
I mean, very good. Wasn't the best on the bass, but it wasn't the worst. And Johnny Rotten, he was brilliant. Honestly, on the mic and off the mic. Yeah, don't ever talk to him. Don't spit at me. I love that.
Three Rick and Rollers ago.
Yeah, with Madonna the.
What a fantastic mix.
It's called Pretty Vacant. Actually, can we have the Pretty Vacant song without Madonna?
He's asleep. He's gone to sleep. He's probably snoring.
He's gone to sleep. I would say it's my birthday. He would stay awake for me. Pretty Vacant. The Sex Pistols. Hey, Velasek, let's have a music show tonight because it's my birthday.
I'll cry if I want to. Rollo is going to sleep. I'll cry if you.
Yeah, it's my birthday, and I'll cry if I want to.
How come, Susie? If you're out there listening, Susie, you're quite welcome to come into the Rick and Rollo show.
Oh, this is the after show, is it?
And to be honest, I haven't got
none of this is being recorded anyway.
No, it's not being recorded, but I've got not a lot of time left.
I'm masturbating right now. Do you know what I'm masturbating to?
No.
I'm looking at my little screen TV,
And I've got, guess what?
No.
In front.
No idea, it's Rob.
Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, it would be doing that.
A picture. It's a picture of Donald J. Trump. And I'm stroking it to him. Yeah.
Oh,
what's that song? I'm stroke it, stroke it, stroke it.
A great song. That was a great song. Stroken by Clarence Clemens from the E Street Band. Stroke it.
Oh, look, he's just popped up my screen right there, just in that second. That the woman from Dexter, she was in that wonderful. What was that? Pulp Fiction. Who was that? That beautiful woman in Pulp Fiction.
No idea. You mentioned her before.
She's looking at it 30 years older. I forget her name.
From Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. The one that was having the date with John Travolta in it.
Blonde actress.
I'm having a brain fart. Help me out. Do you remember? Do you remember her name?
No idea.
Do I have to look it up? Oh my God.
Can you?
All right, here we go. I've looked it up. Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman
is actually on TV these days. Uma Thurman, who was in Kill Bill and biggest movie actress there is. Yeah. Brilliant. And she's still as good, and she doesn't feign a performance.
How do you know? How do you know she's not finding a performance in Rollo?
I watch the show and I know when someone's phoning. I know when someone's phoning a performance in. Okay, I'll give you an example of someone who just doesn't give a shit.
No.
All right. Let me think. All right. Mark Wahlberg. He was in a movie called The Happening or something.
Okay.
And I don't watch it. There are a lot of famous phoned in performances. Like you don't see where actors where you, I don't want to be here. Like
I want a real performance like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
I honestly don't think Jack ever really gave a performance. He just did Jack every time. Like, no matter who it was, he would. Rick,
you're listening to
Rick and Roller. Happy birthday.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
You're listening to the Rick and Rollo After Show, be told, guaranteed, 1,000,000,000% with Rick.
Yeah,
and
maybe this will be recorded. Maybe it won't. We were talking about people. Have you, Rick, ever phoned in a performance or made love to a woman and phoned your love-making performance in?
Okay, well, it doesn't work. If you try and fool a woman, will work out.
You never faked an orgasm.
It's very hard for a male to do that. Very hard for a male to do that. Easy for a woman, though. No problem for a woman. No problem.
Well, if you say that, you're a sexist in 2025. A woman has all the power.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying about those films, particularly the one with, what's the name in? Rollo, to be honest, it's 9:01, which is interesting when we talk about 91. I'll be going to sleep soon. Oh, Susie's here. Hang on. Susie's here. We have to keep talking to Susie. Susie, hey, happy birthday to Rollo.
Hey,
everybody. Hey, happy birthday to you, Susie, too. Susie, how are you? And where's Wayne tonight? Wayne out working or you?
Just waking up now.
Okay. Have you snuck out to another room?
No, I sleep on the couch.
Hey, we've all been there, man.
People need to sleep, man. And right now I'm stuffy. I've been blowing my nose for the last, I don't know, 5 days. So hey, I just had like a head cold thing.
I went to an office last night at, and what time did I get there? 5 p.m. at night. And when I was in there, I started sneezing and coughing as I was roaming around. And I said to one of the guys there, I said, I think the fact that you've got so many sick people continuously in this office, which I've noticed, everyone's sick there all the time. I said, I reckon your air conditioning ducts need to be vacuumed out or so, there's something bad about the air conditioning. I was sneezing. I was coughing. And I'm suggesting that it's your air conditioning.
No. We haven't had the air on or anything in, I don't know, a month or so.
Right.
But I just had a head thing. It just kind of came out of nowhere. It's no real reason. It's my body just needed to get rid of some shit, I guess. Yeah, but it wasn't probably sick. Head pressure, you know? Like I wasn't like shivering and achy and
When you're sick, there's a big difference between being sick and just being not well. So you'll pick it up. But I definitely picked up that I was getting, like, I do not have issues with my nose normally. And there I was struggling to, well, I was all blogged up.
I've heard lots of people having problems sitting in the air conditioning duct in the office. I think
it's bad for you. Rollo would agree.
Yeah.
Where is Rollo?
Man,
Hey, Susie.
Let me tell you, I was so happy when you started the show and you weren't already all plastered. I was so happy.
Oh, thank you.
So happy. Thank you. It was one of my favorite shows in a very, very long time. It just blew
up. Wonderful.
You guys, great. It was a good one. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm not that plastered now. I've only had one bottle of vodka and a whole bunch of Red Bull, but that's okay. I like Cheap Trick. What again? Did we play your right Cheap Trick song? What was your Cheap Trick? What was your favorite?
Hey, Rollo, honestly, Cheap Trick came out of nowhere, and
but that's exactly his favorite band.
Okay, well, exactly at the same time as the Police came out with that Message in the Bottle and Walking on the Moon album.
Massage in a brothel, Massage in a brothel.
I never thought about that, but you've just exposed it. There you go. No, but honestly, Cheap Trick came out with Live at the Budokan album in about 78, 79. And every song on that album is fantastic. Every single song. There's not a bad dud song.
Sending out an SOS.
One radio song Cheap Trick ever made that I, you know, not my favorite song. I don't like it, but of course that's Rollo style, right?
Yep.
I'm not insisting.
Good band. Great band.
Thanks for the birthday wishes. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Rollo's
50. Who thought I would make it to 56? Yeah.
Not me.
Not me.
I'll be honest here. I thought, he'll never make 56. Nah. And guess what? You did. You made 56 years of age.
I did just want to say hello. I figured I'd be muting every 5 minutes to blow my nose. And I know you guys are tired, so.
No, it's all
good. On Truth Meets, you don't get muted. On TUE or on Fakeologist, you do.
Hey, Rollo, on 2UE, so 2GB, right?
Oh, yeah, you get muted.
Mike Jeffries is back on doing nights now, and I would highly recommend you listen to Jeffries was Clive Robertson's best friend.
Oh, good.
Yep. And
hey, Rick, thanks for posting those, you know, the Ray Hadley stuff and all that shit. And now I understand more. And it's really funny. I listened to the impersonation of that lady. And it's really... It's good to know where you guys are coming from a little better. So I did
Well, that's the only way you'd be able to pick up on some of our nuances.
Yeah, exactly.
On the Rick and Roll.
Listen to this. I'm John Laws. Dale, are you there?
Dale. Yeah. G'day, mate.
G'day, Dad.
Yeah. G'day, Rob.
So you've got Down syndrome.
No. Dale.
I'm normal. No, you're not normal. You're a spastic, Dale. How about you're a mouth breather and we put you down. We need to put you down.
I'm not a spastic.
I'm not joking. You are a spastic. You're a mouth breather.
How about that? There's that Kevin Williams. Is that the name? And he goes, no. Who's that?
Kenny Williams.
Kenny Williams. Yeah.
From what's it called? Carry on, Kelly. Right. Kenny Williams. You do that so well.
I do it exactly like Kenny Williams. I'm guaranteed.
You do. That. I mean, seriously. I mean, can I do Sid James? Like a
no.
Kenny, what's going on here? Like
Rello, it's your birthday. I'm Kenny Williams, and I want to say happy birthday. No.
I can do that exactly like Kenny Williams, I guarantee you now.
But say, you're just an ochre Australian. You're a horrible human being.
I'm Kenny Williams. I'm Kenny Williams, and I'm saying you're an inferior being to me.
No. I love it when you do that lower. Like you do the no, and then and you
no.
Lower. Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's so good. That's so good. This is the best afterbirthday party ever. Can you do?
The best
now,
party.
Who are the other people?
You've been.
Yep.
You're. This is Kenny Williams. Kenny Williams. I'm telling you, you are extremely rude to other guests, Rulu. You are always extremely rude. And I am not. I am one of the most. The most polite people.
I'm telling you, Rollo, I am exactly.
I'm Oliver Stone. Kenny.
No.
This is Oliver Stone here.
Rollo. Yes.
Hey, Kenny.
Yes. Yeah. Oliver Stone. Yes. I'm here.
Shut your fucking mouth. We've got Susie, our number one fan here.
Susie's wonderful. I think she's wonderful. I find her totally wonderful. But you, Rollo,
Susie, do you remember the Flight of the Conchords?
No. Rollo, of course she does. But she remembers me.
You're our number one. Flight of the Conchords. Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Who am I out of Flight of the Conchords?
You are inferior because you are inferior to me.
I would be the tall, good looking one, and you'd be the short, the musician.
No, Rollo, please, honestly. No, in real life though, my sister hung out with them in Wellington. Mm. That's where they're from.
Okay.
And she told me the story. They went to a party at their house. They were renting.
Wow.
Yeah. It was the Flight of the Conchord. And they had plastic flowers stuck into their garden that made the garden look amazing. But it was all plastic flowers that they'd stuck into the garden. And this is Jermaine and Brett. Jermaine and Brett. In 1990 something or other, they were totally had a fake garden and everyone thought they had an amazing garden, but it was actually made of plastic flowers. That's the kind of thing you can do with dummies. People believe. And Jermaine and Brett. Now, I'm telling you now, that Brett from Flight of the Conchords, his latest song, which was they played on Media Monarchy, I was impressed because I thought, wow, that's actually really clever. It's about having a father or a brother or something around that's a conspiracy theorist. Oh,
that's I meant to look it up. I was on my list of things too.
Yeah, yeah. I thought very good, very clever. And Jermaine, I mean, he's a bit creepy, but Brett, I think there's definitely got talent. Definitely.
What's wrong with creepy? What's wrong with creepy?
Well, whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, Rollo, I'm going to have to go soon because I've been up.
All right. I'm just I'll try and find this to send it to Villa.
Which one? He's asleep, Rollo. Guaranteed.
No, he said it'll attach it to the end. So, okay. This is 17 years ago. Oh, hold on. So tell me what's the new song?
It's not for the comments by Brett. What's his name? The guy that plays Brett. Well, actually, Brett's his name. He's got a solo career, and his new one's it's something to do with having a conspiracy theorist father or something or brother. Or whatever. I don't know. I just heard it on that Media Monarchy show. Okay. And I thought that's really funny and really clever. Really clever. He actually is a good, clever guy.
I agree.
Rollo, I'm going to go. And Susie, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I found it. Here we go. Flight of the Conchords. It's called Father and. This is 7 years ago.
No. This is Brett. Flight of the Conchords. No, you got the completely wrong song, Rollo. It's Brett.
All right. Okay.
The guy
Have you found it?
No, I haven't even looked for it.
I'm talking about our American friend here. Has she found it?
Freak out, City.
Let's all look it up. Let's see who finds it first. Let's make a competition out of it. Okay. So Flight of the Conchords.
To do with Flight of the Conchords. It's Brett.
What's Brett's last name?
I don't know. Here we go.
Is that the one Freak Out City?
This could be it. Oh, when I saw my friend walking his dog, I said, hi, you're a man. I said, that lies my job.
Said, you're doing okay. He said, I'm fine. There's a little video with it.
So good.
No, that's not it.
His name's Brett McKenzie.
Brett McKenzie,
He
must have a whole album, right? Because it's one from July 2025.
He's such a good-looking guy, too. I'm sorry, I'm not a homosexual, but I'm just saying he's... the other one is... Jermaine Clement. He's a beast, that guy. Yep. Okay, now... What song are we looking for, Rick? Help me again. We want to go out with this. Brett McKenzie. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's look him
up. It's something to do with having a woke father or conspiracy theorist. There's something to do with.
All right.
Brett McKenzie, latest song. Let's put Brett McKenzie's latest song.
Yeah, Brett McKenzie's latest song. It's all good.
Guaranteed.
Are you having a good time? Are you having a good time, Susie, while we're looking up this Brett McKenzie's latest song?
I'm zoning out. I probably have to have a little napsky before I start the day.
Yeah. Hey, Susie, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Susie, thank you for being here.
Yeah. So is this it? Is it all I need? Brett McKenzie?
Have a look. Play it.
I'll
bet you it's not, though.
I'm done. I don't want to look at my phone.
Susie, thank you for appearing on Rollo.
Thank you, Susie.
Rollo, I'm going to go.
Susie, give me a kiss on the lips. All right. So Brett McKenzie. All right, Brett McKenzie. I really want to go with the right song.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
No, don't send it to me. Send it to Velocet.
Okay, I'll do that later.
All right, so we're going out with... just calm down, go out correctly.
Thank you.
This is the Rick and Roller After Show with Susie. Hey, babe. All right, we're about to go. And we're going to go out with Flight of the Conchords. Brett McKenzie and Vella, thank you for playing this.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Thank you, babe.
You have a great night.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to Roller. Happy birthday to me. Thank you, Vella.
Right. Hug your dog for
me. Thank you, Rico. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Meet you already. Bye.
Bye.
Shouldn't have called me tonight. I had a feeling in my gizzard. When I came in, I should have gone. Between the bedroom and that wizard, I think I crossed the Rubicon. Hey, the rooms aren't always right. I shouldn't have called me tonight. I shouldn't have come here tonight. Tonight.